Acme is making your grocery shopping easier than ever. Download the Acme mobile app to find digital deals, earn reward points, or shop for delivery or pickup. Acme, fresh foods, local flavors.
93.3 WMMR, audio on demand, presents the Preston and Steve Show podcast.
Let's welcome our guest to the studio. He was a sensation when he came out with his documentary, Super Size Me, and he's made some other great films as well. This one I really, really love the concept of. It's called Palm Wonderful 100% Pomegranate Juice Presents the Greatest Movie Ever Sold. That's the name of that. It's the name of the movie. Please welcome Morgan Spurlock.
Thank you.
Good morning,
thanks,
Morgan.
Great to see you. Thank you.
I'm so ecstatic you're wearing your advertisement jacket.
It is the NASCAR prom here on the honor this morning.
Yeah, to describe it, he's wearing a suit, and the suit jacket is embroidered with different products. He's got Old Navy and JetBlue and the Hyatt and just all over, up and down the sleeves.
All the greatest sponsors.
Yeah. All over the place. The concept for this movie is ingenious. It is, what a great idea. It's all about product placement,
yeah,
and how that plays a role in paying for projects.
That's right.
How it plays a role in what we see and what we are being pitched without knowing about it.
That's right.
And all kinds of stuff. This idea, did it hit you? Did you
like
have a flash of genius?
No, it was like a complete flash. I was a huge fan of the TV show Heroes when it first came on.
Oh, yeah, likewise.
Season one of Heroes, greatest season ever.
Then they effed it up.
Brought to you by Nissan, right?
Yeah. Well, then the wheels fell off the bus, season two. Yeah. Like, season two, episode one, the cheerleader's leaving school. They've moved to a new town. She's right. Really sad. She's heartbroken. She's like, oh, Dad, I'm having such a hard time. My birthday's in a month, and I just wish things would be different. I wanted my birthday to be so special. And he goes, oh, honey, your mom and I, we were going to save this, but we're really proud of you. And he reaches in his pocket, and as he does that, the camera cuts to the front of the car, dollies past the Nissan logo, cuts back to him holding the keys in front of her face, rack focus to her face, and she goes, the Rogue? The Nissan Rogue? Oh, my God, Dad, I can't believe it's the Rogue.
Wow.
And I was like, wow, that really just happened.
Yes,
I just saw a commercial in the middle of that show.
Right.
Later on in the show again, she's like leaving a party. She's like, come on, guys, let's get out of here. To the Rogue.
Yeah.
And like I threw my remote at the table. I was like, that's it. Like the next day I get to work, and my producing partner and I start talking about it, and we said, God, we should make a movie about product placement, you know, and advertising and get brands to pay for it. And we're like, oh, ding.
That's perfect. Because it's happening in a way like that more and more. It used to just be, okay, there's a box of Cheerios on the table, and it's, wow, that's lit beautifully.
Yeah.
But now it does figure in. I watch a show called The Vampire Diaries, and they're pushing a Ford's.
Yeah.
And they use that sync feature a lot.
Yeah.
But I also, as I watched the movie and I really enjoyed it, you're not waving a flag. This isn't war.
Yeah.
Because there are some elements of it that you see as being okay.
That's right.
So it's more an observation of the unique nature of this methodology.
Yeah, and also just that it gets into the whole area of like advertising and marketing and why we buy the things we do. Like
right.
What works. And so what happens in the film, as little you see us like get these brands to come in and pay for the movie, as we kind of tear open this world of advertising, you start to see all the things, come into play that we critique in the beginning to promote the film that you're actually watching.
I love the. Yeah. I'm sorry, go ahead, Preston.
It's wild. It took me a second when Nick was the first one to tell me about the concept of this movie, and I'm like, wait a minute. So they're making a movie about getting people to pay for making a movie.
Yeah.
And so the entire film is just about. It's hard to say it in a concise way, but
there's a great epiphany moment where you finally just say, this is the movie.
Yeah.
And the suit sitting around.
That's when I was meeting with the guys from Sheetz in that meeting. Like,
right.
I was meeting with the CEO and the CMO of Sheetz, and the guy goes, is there a plot? And he goes, is there even a movie to this? And I was like, this is the movie right now. What do you mean?
The level of transparency that you provide in this movie is just astonishing, because it's no holds barred. And I love the parts of the movie where you're sitting down with somebody and you pinpoint in the frame everything that's currently being sponsored. Everything. And you look and you're like, oh, yeah, there's that. And there's that, and there's that product, and now it's obvious with the jacket that you have on. But you know, it happens in our lives all the time.
That's right. Yeah.
What we do is paid for by advertising. You know, so our salaries are paid for by advertising, and we see it everywhere. And there's a Sixers poster right here,
and
Casey's got a Phillies hat on.
Yeah,
and all of that, in one way or another, is advertising.
Yeah, and then what the film does a great job of is just like literally, once you watch this film, you'll never look at a Hollywood movie the same way again. Like the minute you walk out of theater, you'll see like all those things you're saying with the Phillies hat, all the stuff you check out.
already do. I mean, I'm sorry to, when I cut you off earlier with that whole Nissan thing. But when you had mentioned Heroes, that's the first thing I thought of was, you know, oh, she got the new Rogue. And then, like, when I watched 24, every single car in that show is a Ford car. You know, and those are the ones that are a little bit more baffling. When I watch reality TV, those are the ones.
Well, that's like a game show. Reality TV is already like a game show.
And I love The Biggest Loser, but, it, you know, just the way they would stage these things where, you know, somebody would walk into the kitchen. Oh, hey, what are you doing? Oh, I'm just making popcorn with this new Pop Secret. It's, you know, it's, you know, low sodium and low fat. Really? Tell me more about this Pop Secret.
I think where you might have, you know, that it, you can sort of gingerly move it into something like that. Where it becomes more obvious is when, you know, during Saving Private Ryan, they're using a Cuisinart. That's an issue. And what your ultimate thing is that in some cases, it can affect the artistic aspect of what's being produced.
And that's what's happening in Hollywood right now. You're seeing these guys, these brands that are muscling their way into, like, writer's rooms and into creative meetings and literally getting these things into scripts. Like, there's this great, let me show this clip in the movie from 90210 where they're pulled over on the side of the road and the guy pulls out a can of Dr. Pepper and he goes, well, maybe if you weren't drinking so much Dr. Pepper. And she goes, and she goes, we're on a road trip. Drinking Dr. Pepper is practically a requirement. And I was like, this, it's so awful.
I do have a question about when things are obviously, and I don't necessarily know how to word this, but when you're looking at a product that is obviously a brand name, but it's a knockoff of that, and I'm talking specifically about, like, iCarly. The computer that they use is an Apple, but really it's not an Apple.
It's a pear.
It's a pear. I mean, does Apple get anything out of that?
No. Because that's why they do that.
It's still an advertisement for Apple almost. Why not just go with a blank screen?
That's right. Well, because then it'd be a Dell. And nobody wants to use one of those.
It'd be a hard one to run by Apple. We're going to suggest it might be this product. That's not going to be enough.
Well, Apple's like one of the smartest companies around because they won't pay anything for product placement. Like, they make their product available for people, you know, to make sure it's around, but they never give anyone any money. And like last year, they were the most placed product in all of film and all of television.
Wow. But they don't pay for any of it.
No, they don't pay a dime for anybody. Well, because the thing is, like, if you're this guy's an artist, he's struggling, he's not going to be on like some kind of like PC. This guy, he's on an Apple because that's what they use. Smart people, creative people use those, and they've so established like an identity.
It became with it started with a Carrie on
that's right, Carrie Bradshaw. She's so creative, she'll only write on a Mac.
That's right.
And look at those Manolo Blahniks.
Is there another company like Apple that can do that?
No. I mean, they are literally the one that is as so established. And they did it from the beginning. Like, they literally came in from the start and never paid it for anything.
So what's going on with you and your movie and Altoona, Pennsylvania?
This is we just announced this yesterday. So on April 27th, we are going to Altoona in a fantastic shindig. There will be a naming ceremony at 1 o'clock in Altoona, Pennsylvania, where I am buying the naming rights to Altoona, Pennsylvania for 60 days, and they're going to change their name to Palm Wonderful Presents the Greatest Movie Ever Sold, Pennsylvania.
That's great.
Amazing.
I saw a statement from the mayor where he was just like, we all have a sense of humor.
You know, and we all have our price. That's what he said.
You know what, Morgan, in this day and age of social media and also people blogging and putting up different kinds of their own virtual stores and so forth online. I think this is going to speak to a whole new group of people, because I had a friend who was starting up an online radio and video format, and he called me up because I've been in the radio business for a number of years and was asking me the secret to go about getting advertisers. And I said, well, dude, you just got to do what's called a cold call. You just got to call people up and you just got to say, here's my idea. Do you want to spend some money with it?
That's right.
And there are people that have never done this type of thing before.
Yeah.
And I know that in the film, it shows you
600 cold calls.
Making these cold calls.
Wow.
And when you do cold calls, the overwhelming majority, you get the door slammed in your face.
Very quickly, usually. Or they don't even call back.
But at least you come in with a little bit of gravitas, as they say, because you have
Morgan Spurlock.
Well, that was a plus and a minus. It's like, calling up and they're like, we already saw what you did to that other company. We want nothing to do with this.
So of the companies, and obviously Palm ponied up the most, put up close to a million for the movie?
So far they put up 600 $600,000.
$600,000?
And the other $400,000, because it was $1 million to buy the above the title sponsorship.
Right.
And so the other $400,000 is tied to benchmarks along the way.
Like okay.
A certain number of screens, number of media impressions, box office.
I never even heard of Palm, by the way.
Yeah. We drink it all the time.
Do you really?
Yeah. I was telling Morgan before.
No problems at his house.
Yeah, because it's apparently a Viagra-ish.
Yeah. Yes. Well, I was telling my wife about the concept for the movie last night and gave the full title, and she said, "My Palm?" And Palm is just this wonderful product, as I'm sure you can attest, Morgan.
Yes. It is the greatest antioxidant you'll ever drink.
That's right. And it's almost like Viagra. I wanted to ask you about your experience with Ralph Nader, because
amazing.
He's a pioneer, and he's certainly unique, did he bring any negative connotations to the interview, or what was it like with him?
Well, the scenes with Ralph Nader are some of my favorite in the movie, because literally in this movie, you see more personality in Ralph Nader in 90 minutes than you've ever seen Ralph Nader have ever.
That's not saying a lot. Like, yeah. If his eyes move, that's more personality. That's right.
Well, because if we were going to go interview somebody, we said we have to interview this guy who's been a consumer advocate, who's been railing against this stuff for a long time. And so we go talk to him, and the scene with him where literally I'm talking to him, and I pull out my Merrell shoes and start talking about my shoes
right.
is one of my favorite things that I've ever done.
He's an interesting character, because in a way he almost became a victim of his own stuff. You know what I'm saying? He started to lose credibility because he became so arch on certain products and set up things that were so not the user experience,
right.
mm-hmm. that it ended up hurting him.
Yeah, but this is the guy, you know, at the end of the day, that got seatbelts in every car in America.
Wow.
So it's like there weren't seatbelts until there was Ralph Nader, which is crazy.
I didn't think about
that. Yeah.
Wow. What about your experience with Noam Chomsky?
Chomsky was like, the fact that we got an interview with Noam Chomsky was incredible. Like, this guy is so brilliant, and to get down and like to sit down and talk to this guy and hear him break down, like he said, the interview with him I love. He said so many smart things, but the one that's in the film, we're talking to him about, you know, what will happen if I do this, and he goes, well, you have two choices. You could either be co-opted a little bit, you know, and you just dip in your toe, and then you've dipped in your foot, and then you're up to your knee, and then you're up to your neck, and then you're swimming. And that's what they want. He goes, they want you to start swimming in it all. And he goes, or you could just move to Montana and grow your own food.
It's funny, because there's a dude who will rail against that stuff, and yet he suckles at the teat, as it were, himself.
Right. Yeah.
So,
it's amazing.
And that overall, if someone walks away from the movie, what would be, because the message is nuanced.
Well,
what would you like them to take with them?
I mean, the biggest thing is, like, do we want to live in a world where literally everything is brought to us by some sponsor?
Yeah.
Because that's where we're headed. You know, from stadiums to events, you know, you name it. And literally at the end of the day, none of that gets passed down to us. Like, all of the ticket prices, all these stadium names aren't making tickets any cheaper. You know, concerts being sponsored by these big companies aren't making those events more accessible to everybody. And in New York City right now, they've put up the naming rights. They just floated a bill to sell the naming rights to parks and playgrounds, which is unbelievable, you know.
So
one day, not only will I get to take my kid to the Pepsi playground and go down the, you know, the Hostess Twinkie slide, but, you know, maybe if I'm lucky, he'll get to go to Red Bull High, you know.
Hey, yeah, great, you know, great track team.
Yeah, yeah, that's right.
The stadiums and the arenas, that was the one that kind of stung the most. I think for me, because you have, it's kind of synonymous with your city, with your
that's exactly right,
your hometown pride and so forth, and then to see that sold to, you know, whomever it may be.
A bank
be.
That's going to change its name every 4 years.
That's exactly what's happened here. We've been the main auditor, the main arena has been, it started at Core State
Four
Center.
States.
First Union, or before First Union, it was
no,
something else, wasn't it?
No, it was Core State, then First Union, then Wachovia.
And now Wells Fargo.
Yeah. Over the course of just a couple of years.
That's incredible.
Yeah, and the Phillies actually just finished a series with the Washington Nationals, and they were just saying how they couldn't get anybody to sponsor their park, so it's now Nationals Park.
Yeah.
Which is, you know, sort of an anomaly these days in major league sports.
That's right.
Preston had mentioned earlier this morning that they had, or they're banning outdoor advertising in Sao Paulo, Brazil.
Yeah, in the film, we show this in the film. Like, we traveled to Brazil, and 7 years ago, there was so much pollution happening in the city, and the mayor of the city and the city council said, well, we need to get rid of the distraction so people can see what the problem is. So they said, well, let's get rid of the advertising. So now there's no billboards, there's no posters, there's no ads on buses.
Wow.
It's one of the most surreal and incredible things you'll ever see.
And the effect worked?
It worked.
Yeah.
Like, literally, because they were like, all the people were like, it's going to ruin businesses. Nobody's going to know what's going to happen. And these were all the advertisers that were saying this, of course. And then they took down all the advertising and nothing happened.
When is advertising and when is this sort of stuff, when is it okay in your eyes? When is it a useful tool?
Well, I mean, I think that, you know, the question that they said is like, well, now what the museums can't advertise? And I was like, well, come on, you got to talk about a museum? It's like,
right.
Well, sure, great, museums should get to advertise. But here's the biggest thing is, just because when they take those down, guess what? The internet internet doesn't go away. You know, the TV doesn't stop playing. Like, that, there's so many places where we get information now that there doesn't have to be stuff everywhere. Well, I do agree with that.
You look at, like, Jesus, Facebook. You know what movie's opening up.
Oh, here's the worst thing about Facebook is, like, literally, I did a search. A friend of mine, the guy who edited the movie, moved into an apartment. He's like, I got to get a bed. And I was like, dude, just order one online. They'll deliver it to your house. They'll set it up. I go online, like, search, like, you know, some website. Right. And showed him the links. I closed that search out, went to, like, another webpage, like Facebook. Suddenly, all over the computer, it's like beds all on the side, bedding on the bottom. Yeah. I went to another page, same thing again. I'm like, oh my God, I'm so targeted everywhere I go.
I know.
They figured it out quickly.
That's right. Advertising is everywhere, and it's so omnipresent that when it's not around, you certainly notice it. And I don't know if this is still the case, but for a long time in Vermont, they wouldn't allow billboards on the side of the road.
There's still no billboards there. Or Hawaii. Yeah, Hawaii did the same thing.
And so you'll drive through those areas, and it takes you a second, and then you realize, oh, I know what's missing now.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I need something to read while I'm driving.
And by the way, there are some great billboards around Philadelphia for a local morning show.
Yeah, that's right. And radio.
Yeah, I think we should get rid of all the billboards except those. I think it's the greatest thing that could happen.
I'm sorry, I missed. What is the reasoning for taking them all down? Why did they want it all down?
Because they wanted to start to address the pollution problem in the city. Oh, and so by taking them down, they changed the way people looked at their own city. Right. And there's not one person. We interviewed probably 75, 80 people there, and not one person was like, oh, I really miss all that advertising.
Yeah.
You know what? Morgan told me something about the film, which, by the way, is called The Greatest Movie Ever Sold. It's brought to you by Palm. I'm not going to give you the entire title.
It's Palm Wonderful Presents The Greatest Movie Ever Sold. In theaters, April 22nd.
April 22nd, next week. But Morgan had mentioned something about the, you know, one of the most important things is the film makes a profit. You spend X amount of dollars on producing the film and paying the talent and so on and so forth. And then you throw it out to the audience and you pray to God you get that money back and then some on top of it. This has not been released yet.
That's
but
right. But the film, when it opens in theaters April 22nd, will already be in profit.
It will already be in profit.
That's because of the advertisers.
How many sponsors, by the way?
When the film opens next week, there'll be 22 companies that are helping to promote the film.
And did you have to promise that you would mention any of these during your radio interviews? Or
no, it's like it's one of those where we said it's best efforts. That's what you always put in contracts, best efforts.
Best efforts, yes, yeah.
I have a question for you.
I do love Mane and Tail, so I will throw that out there.
Isn't that
a very...
That is a very multiple-purpose shampoo for humans and for horses.
That's right.
Did you go to McDonald's for sponsorship?
Well, that's a great question. So if the whole idea behind The Greatest Movie Ever Sold was to make a documentary blockbuster, a docbuster.
So we
wanted to make a docbuster, and to make a docbuster, you got to have a fast food partner. You know, you have a fast food tie-in. So, of course, we called McDonald's because you want a Happy Meal. You want a kid's meal. Yeah. They didn't call back. Big surprise. You know, like, and then we called every other fast food chain, Wendy's, you know, you name it, all the way down the line. None of them called us back. And then we're like, you know what we need? Collector cups. That's what we got to have. Like, I'm looking down the hallway, and there's the Slurpee Iron Man sign. Like, so I was like, that's what we need in 7-Elevens. We got to have collector cups. 7-Eleven said no, you know, all the way down. You know, Circle K, Wawa, Sinclair, they all said no. And I was like, and somebody said, what about Sheetz? And I said, that's a great idea. What about Sheetz? So now April 22nd, when the movie comes out, you'll be able to get your Greatest Movie Ever Sold collector cups.
From Sheetz? Location.
Oh, that's so awesome.
Yeah.
I really like some of the advertisers you have on your jacket, including Palm, and you got Aruba on there. And
the Island of Aruba.
Wait, the country of Aruba?
The island of Aruba, the greatest vacation destination.
Right. Yeah. So my question is, any nice little perks tossed your way, Morgan?
Well, we did get to go to Aruba. And when I finally get off this press melee, maybe we'll get to go back. But right now, that's the best part. So when I travel and I'm doing all this, I stay at Hyatt, the greatest hotel you'll ever experience. I fly on JetBlue. The greatest airline you'll ever fly. At some point, though, they're going to say, no more free tickets. The free ride is over, buddy.
This is genius. What did you, before Supersize Me, Morgan, what were you doing for a living?
I was making movies, TV shows.
Okay.
I had a
rejected
film on,
from film school five times.
Five
right?
times. Yes. I'm very proud of that. Thank you. I had a TV show on MTV right before we made Supersize Me called I Bet You Will, where we'd go out on the street and we'd bet people to do silly things.
Remember that
money.
Show? Love that show. That. And I also love 30 Days.
Oh, thanks a lot.
That's I assume that's inert now? Okay.
Yeah,
all
not
right.
Back. So you can erase it from your DVR.
I do want to talk to you about Supersize Me. I know it was a while ago that the movie was out, but. I mean, it still lives on today. And
amazing, yeah.
I don't know if you've ever watched Hard Knocks on HBO,
yes.
But Chad Ochocinco completely and totally called you out. This guy is, peak physical condition, NFL all-star, all-pro, wide receiver. he eats McDonald's every day, and he totally called you out on that.
Well, most people aren't NFL wide receivers who exercise all day. So that, I just see some guy like in the middle of Kansas going, yeah, that's right, Spurlock.
Well, they are a sponsor, and I think they are phenomenal.
They are wonderful, man. I lost 75 pounds eating McDonald's.
That's right.
Yes, I did.
And then you found it in your shoe?
It was in my shoe the whole time.
Wow. Are you going to have a big premiere for the film?
Yeah, we're having a big splashy L.A. Docbuster premiere on this coming Wednesday.
Who's sponsoring the red carpet?
Oh, my gosh. You know, Fast Company, Palm Wonderful, Amy's Frozen Pizza, you know, all the way down the line.
You know, I'm a raging capitalist. I love all this stuff, and I think it's hilarious, and I get the overall thing, but there's something outlandishly, wonderfully American about that jacket you're wearing.
Yeah.
See, that's why, like, there was in the film, we go to these schools that now are having all these budget problems, so they're having to, you know, they're selling advertising in the schools now, and people are upset about it. And I said, well, why don't we just privatize all the schools, and then kids could wear school jackets like this?
Why not?
You are the guy that makes me go, God, why didn't I think of that? Why did I not think of that? What an awesome idea. The official name, Palm Wonderful 100% Pomegranate Juice presents the greatest movie ever sold.
Now, rolls off the tongue, doesn't it?
It does. Yeah. Avatar.
Do you already have some other concepts in mind that you'll get to later on?
Well, I don't want to tip your hand.
That's right, exactly. Well, no, I'll tell you, there's a film we're editing right now. I'm a huge comic book fan, huge comic book geek. So we went to San Diego Comic-Con last year. And we're making a film with Stan Lee and Joss Whedon,
who
did Buffy the Vampire Slayer, Thomas Toll, the head of Legendary Pictures, you know, the guy that did 300 and The Dark Knight. And so we're doing a film called Comic-Con Episode 4, A Fan's Hope.
Nice.
We followed seven fans into Comic-Con and kind of show this whole pop culture mecca through their eyes.
That's our show. We are pop culture driven, and that's right in our deal. So when that's coming out, you got to alert us.
I'll be back. Yeah, I will gladly come back.
Excellent. Morgan, best of luck, man.
Thank you, guys.
Thanks for being here. Morgan Spurlock.
Yes!
Thank you.
All right. Greatest movie ever sold. All right. We'll be right back. Stay there.
Like what you hear? You can see it, too. Check out Preston and Steve's Daily Rush at PrestonandSteve.com.
Say goodbye to juggling paper coupons and missing out on the best deals. Download the Acme mobile app today to have your own personal grocery guru right in your pocket. Use it to plan your shopping list like a pro. Get personalized deals on the products you buy most and choose your shopping style. Whether it's in-store, delivery, or drive-up, where an experienced Acme associate will carefully select, bag your order, even pick up your prescriptions from the pharmacy, and bring it all right to your car. Acme. Fresh foods, local flavors.
Back with more of the Preston and Steve Show podcast.
We have been playing around with the slip and slide lately.
Yeah.
And I have looked at it, and I've been tempted. There's no way.
No.
I'll break my leg.
Kill yourself.
You know what I mean?
Yes.
Is it terrible?
Well, you know, because when you see the commercial, first of all, they are like 3 feet long when they look like 30. And you drape them over rocks and gravel.
Yeah.
And you think that you're going on
technically
nice,
not supposed
grass.
To do that. Yeah, yeah.
No, but your backyard is not nearly as nice as the backyard in the commercial where they film a slip and slide.
Yeah, just below the level of grass are rocks and things usually.
Right.
Yeah.
And if the slip and slide were made out of something like the Moon Bounce, where it was a little more inflated and it was a little more cushioned, they would be a lot more fun. But it's a thin tarp on top of razor sharp rocks.
I got one good run on a slip and slide when I was a kid because my neighbors had a pretty good yard and there was a little bit of a hill, and I did the whole run and it was great, and that was the one and only time.
Yeah.
Because most of the time you go sliding off about a third of the way down.
Yeah.
You know, what they need is to have like a bowling alley when kids bowl, put the
bumpers
the paddles
on the side.
Up, yeah.
Right.
Nick, keep you in there.
Nick, you're exactly right. And that's the reason why we never played with the slip and slide, because you would just get hurt all the time.
You know what, Steve, you had mentioned the bumpers. I saw one the other day, thought about buying it, but I'm not going to.
Do it.
It has a curve in it.
Really?
It's got a turn, and apparently it's like an inflatable bumper, and it goes up and it makes a turn, and you're supposed to be able to woo. But I'm not buying
it.
I don't think it works.
You go rocketing off that thing at 60 miles an hour and then end up in a worse off than the straight slip and slide.
Yeah. Let me go to Sean. How you doing?
Good. How you doing?
Good. What's up, bud?
Nah. If you guys are looking at a phone with a slip and slide, you have to get this paper. It's like 6 mil plastic, like sheathing paper or whatever.
Right. Okay.
But you can fold it out. It comes in like 150 foot lengths and it goes 20 feet wide. And you just like take sticks and put it in the ground and find somebody with a nice neighborhood. I don't have one, but a couple of my friends do.
Well, you know what?
Big yard. What's that?
Yeah, no, a friend of mine where we used to live, and we're watching video of this, did something similar. They had a really big front yard with a huge hill downwards, and they would get, plastic, stuff from Home Depot or whatever.
You could just
put
get
it
this
out on the hill and set up a couple of hoses at the top.
Really? Yeah.
And I mean, and the adults were doing it. I mean, and you're going for 150 yards. It was pretty damn cool.
So, Preston, this is just regular. Does it come in? Because what we're looking at here is an incredibly wide sheet of garbage bag material.
Yeah, yeah. You can get it for painting and stuff like that.
It would come like that, Casey?
The stuff I have is actually clear, but yeah.
Well, that's a good idea that these adults are doing, because they're going down not just on their bellies. They're going down on inflatables that you would have in a pool.
Right.
And that cushions the blow, because really, when you go down just on your stomach, you end up feeling every bump and groove on the way down.
Chuck, by the way, just texted in sent over an IM. He was saying, you remember he made his own ice rink in the backyard?
Yes.
That's the stuff that he layered that with put the water on, and then it freezes.
Where can we build one of these for us?
Fairmount Park. I always wanted to do
about 95, by the way.
I always wanted to do it at the Susquehanna Bank Center.
That hill would be perfect.
That would be, but
there's nothing to stop it.
Yeah, at the end, you'd fly off. You'd fly over to the concrete, like a six-foot-tall wall, fall off of.
I've been in concerts there, though, Case, where people will do mud slides, and they'll go sliding down, and they end up same thing, all scraped up, bruised up, but of course, they're usually three sheets to the wind, so it doesn't matter.
No, but you're right. You should get a little flotation device, a snow tube or something, because do you remember we did that TH Properties live broadcast where we did the slip and slide?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Well, I went on my stomach, and I must have gone over a rock, because I had this huge bruise the entire length of my thigh. It was pretty gross looking, but it was just one of those deals where
I always thought that I always thought for some reason that when the water was flowing through it, it'd be a little bit padded.
No,
but it's not.
No,
yeah, at all.
No. What about the Conshohocken ski curve? Trail?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, the Conshohocken ski trail would be awesome.
Except there's nothing stopping there as well. You just go right onto Barron Hill Road or whatever it is.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So the end of it's not so fun, but during most of the ride, you're having a good time.
You're having a great time.
What about Bergie Hill?
Oh, no.
No?
Well, there's a reservoir at the bottom if you want to go.
Oh, perfect.
That's perfect, but there's a fence in front of it, unfortunately.
Good, that'll stop you.
Yeah.
This is a good idea.
Actually, Bergie Hill would be pretty good.
I've heard people do this before too. A text came in that said baby shampoo. You know, you just you spray the water down and you lube it up a little with soap or shampoo or something like that.
Right? Yeah, man, you would fly.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Much more of a lubricant than just water.
That's lubing it up.
I think we were talking about this last year, but the water slides that go up. It'll actually send you up a hill.
Well, they have those at Great Wolf Lodge. They've got these. They're like these treadmills that you hit. You're in a small inflatable raft,
and you get on a conveyor belt?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, it's exactly like that.
Huh.
And it you'll go down a hill, and then all of a sudden you're coming up, and right before you hit it, it'll be moving slowly, and then right before you hit it, it speeds up, and then it catches you and it shoots you over the top.
That's cool.
Yeah, it's like a roller coaster, but on a water slide.
Well, they have that one, and I don't know if it's real or fake, but that water slide in Germany that's actually a loop-de-loop.
It looks
real.
It can't be real.
It does look real.
It looks real.
Do some research on that.
Yeah.
I don't know how the hell they would do that, because you need a lot of velocity.
Is it enclosed, Case?
Yeah.
Okay, then that I could maybe see.
There's the other one that is they did on Mythbusters, where it's a really long decline, and then the guy launches up and ends up in the kid pool 50 yards away. And they tried disproving that on Mythbusters, and they did a pretty good job of disproving it.
Yeah, I couldn't. That would be an astronomical shot.
Yeah.
Let me go to Liz. Hey, Liz, how you doing?
Hey, bitches, hey, what?
Hey, what?
Thank you for finishing that.
Yeah.
What's up, Liz?
I was so nervous. I had to finish it.
Yeah.
but no, we do this great big slip and slide at my friend's house using tarps, soap, and we end it with a roll of carpet.
What, for carpet burns
to slam into?
Cover the carpet up with the tarp,
yep.
And it's a big, gigantic roll, and you put it in a curve. So that way, when you're going, really, really fast down the hill, you hit the carpet and you just kind of bounce back up into the water and the mud that lines the bottom, and you don't actually get hurt.
Okay, I can see that.
A little bumper at the bottom.
It's a curb job.
Yeah, it works really good, so it's really fun.
That's very inventive. See, now I want to do all this stuff.
Yeah, that is fun.
What were you talking about with the, we were just talking about Camelback?
Yeah.
Yeah, Camel Beach.
Camel Beach Mountain, yeah.
Right. We gave away some passes for the stupid question. When's the last time you actually went? Never. To a water park.
Years.
And went down the slide, really?
Yeah, yeah. Have you? Well, you've done it recently.
Yeah, we do Great Wolf Lodge a couple times a year.
Yeah, but I love
it. It's still a lot of fun. Water slides are still, as an adult, they're a lot of fun.
And they have some great rides at Hershey, too. It's not like a full-on water park, but they got some cool Hershey stuff, and Dorney's got, I mean, Wild Water Kingdom's pretty great.
Do you know a lot of people forget the sewage system?
Hey.
Can be a blast.
You know?
Especially after a flash flood. It's awesome.
Even now, a lot of like swim clubs and stuff, they're
sewage systems.
Yeah, no. Oh. No,
they got slides.
They have like real deal slides now. Like when I was a kid, it was just like one blue slide that had no sides to it. And
oh, dude,
that's the lamest.
You would get to the top of those things,
uh-huh.
and they would be rickety, and shaking, and it's just one really steep down and up, and that was it.
And that's it.
And every now and then, do you remember? Like, there wouldn't be enough water coming down.
Yeah.
And you would hit the dry spot.
And it would fire your ass off.
Uh-huh. Yes. Oh, my God.
Tear your bathing suit off.
My swim club's water slide is awesome.
What you would have to do a lot of times, if it was in somebody's house, they would have to take the garden hose and put it up at the top and anchor it to it so that you wouldn't get half your skin ripped off on the way down. I remember that.
It's great because just as your skin has gotten sheared off, it gets the chlorine into the open wound.
The burn treatment.
Yeah.
No, but Casey, you're right. I've been to a couple of swim clubs, and they have really stepped it up, like, in the past 5 years.
And they're safer.
Put in these awesome slides and stuff for you to play around with. When you're
I kidding. Love that. I miss it. Yeah. That's why we need to do a huge slip and slide on the side of some hill.
You need to go to a water park. You really should. I mean,
what's the best? What's the best? Give me a good one.
I don't know.
There's close ones.
Camelback one, man.
Camelback is great.
And Camelback?
Split Rock over by Jack Frost has
what's
one.
What's the one you went to in Jersey?
There's Cocoa Key Beach or something. Mm-hmm. And that's like just outside of Marlton. And there are a few hotels around here that are just like that now. And the one in Marlton or whatever town that is.
Cocoa Key Beach?
Got a bar.
Whoa.
It's got a bar.
Yeah. I mean, it's like in a hotel.
Okay.
Frank on the line is talking about a water park that I was going to tell you guys about. We used to go every year to this water park.
Oh, I always wanted to go to that one.
Casey, it is the best water park I've ever been to. However, I've never been there and not gotten hurt.
All right.
Oh, really?
Let me go to Frank then. Hi,
what a
Frank.
Ringing endorsement.
Hi, Frank. Good morning.
Fire truck.
Fire truck?
What's
I usually do a better one. Sorry.
Fire truck.
What's up, Frank?
Did you guys ever hear about Action Park?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I used to go each year.
Yeah, well, it's closed up now.
Oh, it is?
Hold on. Frank, I read about this in my weird Wikipedia articles, and apparently so many people got hurt, they had to shut it down.
I used to remember commercials for it.
It wasn't just a water park. There were other rides there, too, and everything was poorly maintained and dangerous.
It was.
Not just because it was poorly maintained. It was, like, not a good idea in the first
place. Yeah, they had, like, rope swings and stuff like that. Yeah.
Right. It was mainly a water park. There were very few that weren't related to the water, but it was, I mean, like I said, I mean, I didn't get any broken bones or anything, but I left with bruises and cuts, and, I mean, things were... Yes, the rides were dangerous.
Frank, did you ever get hurt?
They closed up by, I'd say, early 90s they were closed up. So I was about 10 the first time I went. Well, they had a water slide called Cannonball Run. Let me explain. It was a black tube that made a loop-de-loop.
We just had a picture up in the studio, yeah.
Yeah.
My mom absolutely forbid me to go on that. I'm 10 years old. So the first thing I did was go on it.
Right.
As any 10-year-old would.
And?
I know it's the radio, so I'm not going to curse, but scared the living out of me.
Right.
Your stomach hits your throat when you hit that loop.
Well, to explain it's a tube that goes down, and right at the end of it, there is a loop, so we assume that your body is traveling at enough velocity to complete that loop and then get thrown out because it ends right outside the loop.
And as a small little 10-year-old, you felt like a bullet. You weren't even touching anything.
How do you keep from smashing your head on the...
Right?
You don't. That's what I'm saying. They never thought about any of that.
That's why that place is closed and they don't make that thing anymore.
Action Park, it's dangerous.
The only explanation.
Yeah, because there'd be once you're shooting around that, there's no your body's basically just a projectile.
Yeah. All right, thanks, Frank.
The Tarzan swing that they had was. It was unbelievable. I mean, it was extremely difficult to do, but it was. It was so much fun there. Yeah. But again, like I said, never went and didn't get hurt. They had cliff dive. Well, you couldn't dive. You could only jump off of it. But they had these cliffs you could jump off of. And
cliff dive?
Yeah, it was.
How about that wrestle a bear attraction?
Yeah, pretty much.
Do a search on this thing because I had read like the full story on it and how the staff was not well trained and the things were not made. Yeah.
They were kids at a water park.
Yeah. They were like high school kids that they hired and did not train them properly.
There was a place in Long Island, Elwood, I think it was, a small town. And it was called Fairyland, and these were all like the little beetle rides and like kids' rides, and yet people would get killed on those things because there were like 12-year-olds running the rides.
Look at these nicknames for Action Park.
Here that Nick pulled up the Wikipedia article. It says at least 6 people are known to have died as a result of mishaps on rides at the park. It was nicknamed Traction Park, Accident Park, Class Action Park, Danger Park, and Death Park by doctors at nearby hospitals due to the number of severely injured park goers that they treated. Little action was taken by state regulators despite a history of repeat violations. In its later years, personal injury lawsuits forced the closure of more and more rides and finally the park itself in 1996.
Even the wave pool was giant waves.
Really?
I mean, I would get out when the waves would start. That's how big they are.
I so wish I would have gone there before they closed
Preston, they used to run commercials for it all the time. We'd never go to it because it just seemed too far away. But in New York, they would run commercials for it all the time. It looked like a blast.
It was.
But it apparently was deadly.
Hang on. Let me go to Joe, who went to Action Park. Hey, Joe, how you doing?
Sonic Boom.
Yeah. Sonic Boom.
Joe, what's up, man?
I was at Action Park when I was a kid. My father had taken me, and there was a set of 2 water slides, all red tube enclosed, and there was probably like 3 or 4 Chinese dudes in front of us, couldn't have been any more than 4 feet tall, and they're laughing and joking and doing their thing in their own language, and they walk right by a sign, and the sign, there's a warning for hypothermia when you hit the water. The water park there is all natural spring water.
Yeah, it was fresh water.
That's cold. Yeah. Wow.
Cold.
Yeah.
And the pool at the bottom was completely covered by trees. No sunlight got to it.
I know exactly what one you're talking about. And that thing, you were in like pitch black, and then it shot you out into this freezing cold water.
3 straight Chinese dudes.
Joseph Mengele designed this thing?
Wait, Joe, what happened?
3 straight Chinese guys went in, and 3 straight Chinese guys hit the water and went into shock and had to be rescued and fished out.
Oh, they were hypothermia?
My aunt had to be rescued from that same ride.
Yeah, because you lose your breath, man.
Yeah.
Yeah, especially when you don't know what's coming.
When you have to warn people about hypothermia on a ride, that's insane.
Yeah, remember when you guys made me go swimming in that pool in February?
Yes.
And
yes.
I knew that the water was going to be freezing.
Yeah.
I mean, it was so difficult to breathe. Imagine if you didn't know it was going to be that cold.
Kathy, and you said you come out of pitch black darkness, Kathy, into this?
Yes, you couldn't see a thing, and then it shoots you out. It doesn't just drop you into a pool of water. It shoots you out. It's still about, I don't know, 3 feet, you know, above the water, and then you drop down in this freezing cold, fresh water.
So you almost like skim across, you're going that fast? Wow.
The first death, Kathy, occurred at the tidal wave pool, and that was in 1982. And it was 100 feet. It was 30 meters by 25 feet by 250 feet, and can hold as many as 500 to 1,000 people.
Yeah, it was giant. The waves were enormous.
This is it.
We're looking at a video, a commercial for it. Look at how high those tubes are.
Yeah, see, that's
shot out of off of the water.
Yeah, that
they're
was
like 15 feet off the water.
That was the tube. It was pitch black, and you'd get shot out and have to drop into the freezing cold water. And they just showed another one where it was kind of like you would sit on this, you know, where you sit on the little mat and you kind of, you know, you'll go down the slide, except this slide was so fast, you'd lose the mat. That was the one that I got hurt on every year.
Was this the one with the infamous kayak? With the
kayak experience, Steve?
Right. The kid was kayaking and got the
second death was at the kayak experience.
Oh, no.
1982 occurred at this ride. It was closed permanently.
But explain what happened, because I remember clearly it in the news. And this is why my parents sort of demurred from taking us to Action Park.
I never saw this kayak ride.
It was in 82. As soon as that death happened, they closed the ride. It was an imitation whitewater course that submerged electric fans to agitate the water above. They put electric fans underneath it?
And then a kid got... Was he electrocuted?
Yeah. Let's see.
He stuck his oar into the fan?
Frequently, the kayaks got stuck or tipped over, and the people had to get out of them to remedy the situation. So it doesn't say exactly how that death occurred, Steve.
But I remember the famous kayak ride and being lethal.
Wow.
Kathy, no wonder you're afraid of life right now.
My parents took me there. Yeah.
Hey, let me go. Why didn't they just take you to Lebanon or something?
And they had lax.
Beirut.
They had lax enforcement on the drinking age, so people could go in and drink. They could bring in beer, and then nobody enforced any drinking policies at all. It didn't matter what your age was.
Let me go to Jason. Hi, Jason. Good morning.
You guys rock.
Thank you, Jason. Rock, we were talking about Action Park, and
I actually grew up in that town that Action Park is in.
What town is that?
That's Vernon.
Okay.
We all used to go there all the time and watch everybody from out of town and just waste themselves on these rides.
Wow.
We actually broke into that one night and went in there at night and figured out how to turn a bunch of the rides on.
Oh my god,
that was college. We figured out how to turn the tidal pool on, the wave pool, and then we were not too pleased when we were riding the waves in and rode up onto the shore, and the police officers were standing there waiting for us.
Well, Jason, as I remember, and the word was, and again, I'd never been to the place, but that it was really kind of very easy to break into?
There was nothing stopping you from walking right in.
Right.
There was high school kids in the summer that were the security guards.
Right.
Security.
You could do whatever you wanted to. They had the alpine slide, that concrete slide where you rode the cart down.
Yes.
Oh, yeah, sure.
Yes.
I still have scars from that. Everybody that grew up in that town has scars from that ride.
That alpine ride was the main reason I would see it in the commercials and I wanted to go.
Steve, the guy that died on the kayak ride, he was from Long Island, which is probably why you heard about it a lot. And it was the underwater wiring that electrocuted him.
Whoa.
And apparently it injured a whole bunch of people in his family as well, too. He was taken to a nearby hospital in Warwick, New Jersey, where he died of heart failure from the electric shock.
Whoa. I mean, and this is stuff that they were designing and building themselves without ever really running it past anybody with any knowledge of this stuff.
The cold water killed one person, Kathy. It was a fatal heart attack and the shock of the cold water.
Isn't that what killed Stalin? No. It was was it Stalin?
I don't know how Stalin died. It escapes my memory. I know that he loved Action Park, though.
He died at Action Park.
Yeah. One way back, I cannot leave before I do a water ride.
Right.
I thought it was like a hot tub and then the cold air and then the shock.
Oh, yeah. I don't know. Check that out. Check us. Stalin, see Action Park.
Park, hot tub, cold water.
By the way, do you recall that water slides in their earliest form were made of concrete? They were not
fiberglass. No.
Oh,
no. Yeah, it was a very refined type of concrete, but concrete nonetheless.
Well, what they would do is they would put a paint over the top of it that was a little bit slicker than concrete. And every now and then, like Kathy had said earlier, if you lost your mat, oh my God.
Mm-hmm.
You were riding down concrete and you would just get ripped to shreds.
What could go wrong with that?
By the way, this is the Action Park jingle.
There's nothing in the world like Action Park.
Wait, let's do that again. Hold on.
There's nothing in the world like Action Park.
Ah! Wait, all right.
Now deadlier than ever.
Let me go to Meredith here. We got to wrap things up in a second. Hey, Meredith, how you doing?
I'm doing good. How are you doing?
Good. What's up?
Action Park, it reopened, and I believe it reopened under the name of Mountain Creek.
Yeah, it's called Mountain Creek Water Park. When that guy said it was closed, I was like, wait a minute, it is? But it's reopened, because my family lives out that way. It is reopened. There's ski resort as well, and they reopened it as Mountain Creek Water Park. I have the website up right now, and it still has some of the same rides, like the where you can do the Tarzan swing or jump off the cliff. And see this one, Steve, where it's like kind of like a slide off of the side of a cliff.
My guess is they had to address some of the issues before they opened up again.
Oh, yeah, they definitely did. Like the one that you shoot into the really cold water that used to have a black bottom, they actually cleaned that up now. So you can actually see the bottom. So if you go down, they can at least come get you.
Wow.
Well, that's good, right? That's handy. Sure. Hey, let's skim the pool for bodies.
Wow. Okay. Well, it would have been cool to try some of these death-defying or actually death-inducing rides.
Yeah, right?
That's the element that's, I guess was the big attraction in Action Park. Yeah. Well, we over the weekend we had the story right with the Ferris wheel at
Wildwoods.
Yeah,
horrible.
But yet there seemed to be no mechanical error or no mechanical issue, just a bizarre death.
But if you get a chance, do a quick search on Action Park on Wikipedia and find out all the incidents that took place there. It's that they sounded like cool rides.
I wonder if you could get a full death package, or if you would buy just deadly ride per deadly ride.
Right, maybe it was one at a time. Yeah. I'm not really
Stalin
sure.
Died from a heart attack, Casey, so I don't know about
heart
this
attack
Action Park thing.
On the kayak ride at Action Park.
Hot tub, cold water.
It was
incident.
As a result of him being.
You really
at
think
Action
he
Park.
Was in a hot tub?
I think that's he what might I heard. Have been. I don't know.
Because they would do those hot baths, and then what you do is you then immediately, after you go into a hot tub, you open up your pores, it cleans
you
everything
saw
out.
You saw red heat.
And then you go into like a cold bath, and that closes up your pores.
Right.
And I think that was.
I don't feel so good.
I'm not really sure. All right, well, anyhow.
There's nothing in the world like Action Park.
There's nothing in the world like Action Park.
All right, well, anyhow, water slides are fun. All right, but listen. Here's what we need to do. We need to take a break. We'll be right back. Stay there.
Back in the olden days, about 5 years ago, your only options to keep listening to WMMR when you got home would be to drive your car into your living room or turn on something called a radio. But now, through modern technology, the smart speaker that's secretly collecting data on you...
What did you say?
...can also stream WMMR. Just tell Alexa or Google to open MMR, and magically we'll come streaming into your home. Plus, it may help distract your device from becoming self-aware. 93.3 WMMR. Everything that rocks.
Do you want to ask somebody who's from Los Angeles?
Maybe Noah Wiley.
I know he's from L.A. That's why I was going to bring it. By the way, Noah Wiley just got here.
I made it.
How you doing, Noah?
Very well. How are you?
We're doing good, man. We were just talking about wasabi and rodeos.
We're killing time, and we're such pros at it that we figured what's
we
on people's mind.
Over in the car, I got to listen to that sausage fest.
Sorry.
Yeah.
Oh, you missed it.
It was really good yesterday.
It was awesome.
Yeah, Casey. Well, he's a vegetarian, so he
you are?
Yes.
Lapsed.
A lapsed
vegetarian.
Really? When did this you fell off the vegetarian wagon?
Is there a wagon?
What's your weakness?
Hold on one second, one question at a time.
Yeah. Hot dogs.
I was a faithful vegetarian for about 5 years, and then I've been unfaithful for the last couple.
What was the first meat that you ate when you
I got a job in Memphis.
Barbecue. Nice. Man.
That's where I
listen.
Fell.
A little part of little pulled pork or something like that.
It was Rendezvous Ribs in Memphis, Tennessee.
Right across from the Peabody.
You know it.
Yeah. I went there last year, and their ribs are world renowned. And it was just for a radio station junket, and as a part of the
TNT show as well.
It was, absolutely. And for part of the prize of doing it, or this little side perk, was that they shipped to me, to my house, a whole cooler full of Rendezvous Ribs, and it was fantastic. And I can see why you fell off the wagon.
It would take out the...
I didn't know they shipped.
Yeah. Take out the best.
Did it make you sick after? I mean, for not eating meat for 5 years, once you had it, how did you feel?
Fantastic.
Listen, you gave it the college try.
And some people will do that who just give up red meat for an extended amount of time and then go back and have a hamburger can make them physically ill. My sister's that way.
But you support all sorts of animal things as well. You're very, very conscious with that. So, you know, yin and yang there. You're balancing it out.
It's
your
weird, though.
Noah, it sort of goes with the territory,
Yeah, absolutely.
I was a vegetarian for a little while as well, a few years, and it was hot dogs, man. It's never, you know, like, oh, man, I just needed a turkey sandwich, you know? It's never, you know, I needed tuna or something healthy. It's like, no, I wanted hot dogs. I wanted barbecue.
They can replicate just about everything except the hot dog.
Well, you know what? I got to bring up an interesting fact, and we're obviously going to talk about...
Combine it a bit, because I love the show.
Falling Skies, the TNT show. But you were in a movie that kind of bizarrely helped me transform my life, believe it or not. we were on the air talking about... About this movie that Jennifer Lopez was in, and they did some kind of bizarre martial art that we had never heard of before. It was Krav Maga, and a guy contacted me and said, I happen to run a school that teaches Krav Maga, and this was 6 years ago, and I weighed 275 pounds back then.
Yeah.
Look at me now, man.
Yeah.
Nice. I got involved in that, and then and I've become a completely different person.
You saved his life.
You saved my life, Noah Wiley.
The list is long.
Well, I just wanted to bring that up. It was an odd little tidbit. But
that's very cool. Congratulations.
Thank you. Let's talk about the show, Falling Skies. There's a two-hour premiere, and tell us a little bit about this, because it's got the sci-fi feel to it.
Yeah, it's a sci-fi show. It's, you know, it's sort of a family drama and a character drama in the context of being a sci-fi show, but it's about an alien invasion of Earth, and most of the population has been killed, and the power grid's been wiped out, and those few survivors are left to try and pull together as a form of resistance army and fight back.
I watched three episodes. I watched the two-hour premiere and then the following episode. Now I'm pissed because I have to wait till the fourth episode and let it advance. But I got caught up in it immediately, and I'll tell you why. Because the dynamic of you and your sons reminded me of the dynamic of Tom Cruise's character in War of the Worlds and his sons. And that sort of now you're a much better dad than he was in that movie, but... But the they're really good sort of, you know, you hit the ground running. It's happened already. The invasion has happened, and you're just trying to hold on to little straws of what it meant to be a family prior to the attack, while still dealing with this formidable alien foe.
Yeah, I play a guy who was a history professor before the invasion. I'm father of three boys, one of whom has been abducted by the aliens. So the first couple episodes is a lot about that, trying to get him back and keep my family safe, while at the same time being given this larger responsibility of leading 300 civilians out of the city of Boston, which I'm sort of reluctant to do, because it means moving away farther and farther from where I know my son is.
The thing that you have, that your point of reference is evaporating now, but you're also a military expert, so you're able to use your expertise to assist.
Yes, they made that very convenient.
Yeah. But I look, because you're actually mentioning things that I found fascinating. You know, you reference World War II and the Revolutionary War, and the dynamic is there. There's that Spielberg touch, but it's still pretty badass, you know, as far as you got the family thing. But the aliens are some scary looking mothers. I mean,
yeah, Mr. Spielberg drew those himself. He
really?
Designed all the aliens, kidding. All the spaceships. His fingerprints are all over this project.
It has sort of I mean, you always think of what you reference. It has a District 9 feel to it as well. I have to ask you though, and you know, you worked with bedpans and ER. How does it feel to be using the weapons? It's got to be wild.
The look in my 8-year-old son's eyes, seeing his yeah. father with an AK-47 shooting away at aliens,
yeah.
was worth it right there.
Popping the clips out, the mags,
yeah,
as you say, yeah.
Street cred with his second grade class. Now.
Very cool.
No, I'm really excited to see this show. TNT has been doing a lot of things right for a lot of years. You know, started with shows like The Closer, and you know, in Memphis Beat. You know, Nick was down in Memphis for that last summer. Men of a Certain Age. I just we were doing stuff for Franklin and Bash, which debuted last night. They're doing a lot of things right, and they're they're also giving you liberty. You know, they're not like, you know, just taking things away after like, you know, 2-3 episodes. They give it time to breathe.
Yeah, that's very rare on TV these days. I've been working for them for a while now. We've made these Librarian movies over the last couple of years.
Which are a lot of fun, the Librarian movies, yeah.
Great fun. And they've been great partners all the way through. They have a really hands-off managerial style. They let all the creative elements go off and make their show. And they know how to program. And they're, I think, the best marketing out there on TV.
It was cool because the supporting cast is great. You have Will Patton, who's a great character actor, and Dale Dye, who is
Dale Dye.
He's real deal military, right?
Yeah, he's real deal military, and he's cornered the market on military advisory to the film world. So he was Oliver Stone's guy, and he's Spielberg's guy. He pops up in various projects, and he runs the actor boot camp. That if you get on Band of Brothers, you have to go in and do it.
You would know this guy in the scene in Saving Private Ryan where they go to the general and tell him that, you know, about this. These two, the brothers that have been killed.
Yes.
He's one of the guy, his gray hair, a mustache.
Yeah, sure.
Good looking
yes.
guy.
Yep, I know exactly
but
he is. Yep.
He advises, as you said, the actor boot camp. So is he, in addition to acting in the show, giving his military expertise?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Constantly.
Does he call you on stuff if you're not holding the weapon right?
I made sure not to be in his crosshairs because it's formidable when he gets angry if you don't hold your weapon appropriately.
I would imagine that, so to speak. I would imagine that that's a daunting thing. But you're at, where is it the show shot? Because it...
Set in Massachusetts. So for authenticity's sake, we filmed in Toronto.
Okay. Because there's a lot of carnage and rubble around, and the city itself, you know, looks not
overrun.
Too awesome. Yeah, overrun.
Hamilton, Ontario.
Perfect, huh?
Yeah, tourist mecca.
Were they, in fact, attacked by aliens and you just took advantage of that?
We were shooting machine guns off at 4 o'clock in the morning on a Saturday and nobody seemed to notice.
No
that's
kidding.
That's a bad sign.
Wow.
Hey, you know, can I ask if, you know, Noah is your name? And I think there was an uptick in people naming their kids Noah after you came onto the scene with ER. Do you agree with that?
Yeah, I remember when my son was being born, we had one of those baby name books, and we were flipping through it, and I saw my name, and it said, made popular recently by the ER actor Noah Wyland.
No way.
That's a crowning achievement when you make the baby name book.
How does that make you feel? I mean, do you feel weird, proud? Like,
I feel like it dilutes the club a little bit.
I think you're right, Noah. Mm-hmm. I think you're right. You had a handle on it. And then
I have an odd name, Preston, and then when Britney Spears named her son Preston, I was like, well, there it goes. We're not that special anymore.
The only hope is that maybe I can finally find one of those little blue license plates with your name on it.
Somebody sent me. I said something about that on air, and somebody had one custom made for me, and I keep it right here on the console just to remind me. I never got those when I was a kid.
Never.
Well, talking about some other roles, you were in a movie that I love, The Pirates of Silicon Valley.
Oh, right on.
And your whole the Steve Jobs thing, when you came out as Steve Jobs for the keynote, was awesome. Have you indeed carried on a friendship with Steve Jobs?
No.
That
was a thrill, you know. Yeah. I never met him or talked to him when we were filming the movie. And the day after it aired, my phone rings and I pick it up and his voice says, Noah? I said, yes, Steve Jobs here. My heart starts beating through my chest.
Wow. Jesus.
And he says, listen, I just wanted to tell you, I hated the movie. I hated the script, but you were good.
Because it acknowledges his great contribution, but it's not. It shows the warts.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. He's an unbelievably forceful personality, and he ran Apple with an iron fist for years and years, but he's got the Midas touch. I mean, when he went away, the stock dropped. When he comes back, the company goes through the roof. And I was just saying to a friend of mine yesterday, I'd love to make a sequel to that movie and update it, because I find him to be one of the most fascinating people in American life.
He's my holy grail interview, Steve Jobs. Because he and Bill Gates, these are two guys who changed the world and did it basically started out of the garages.
Yeah, absolutely.
Can you hook it up? Do you got his number?
Apparently they're not friends.
Hey, Noah, I have to ask about your career on ER. You were the only original member to stay on for 11 seasons. Some came and went and did all this and that. Throughout that time, you're playing a doctor. At any point during your regular civilian life, did you occasionally think, I could do that, or I could diagnose somebody, or did you ever actually try to diagnose
people?
Yeah,
there was a period
people?
Of time somewhere around season 7 or 8 where we all became delusional, thinking that we could all open outpatient clinics in our garages.
Sure. Little cottage industry.
I mean, you're doing it all the time. You're using the jargon, and after a while it becomes, you know, second nature.
Yeah, exactly. Well, the farther away from I get, the more I realize I was how delusional I was.
In addition to that, you're like one of people greatest looking humans on earth, or whatever the list was. You're with Clooney. How did you not go Charlie Sheen with all that possible enticement?
You know, it was one of those shows where we were working 80 hours a week. We
didn't
were
have time.
Yeah, we missed the whole thing because we were in the soundstage working. So we didn't have enough time to play or to really enjoy our success. And it was only after the fact that we got to kind of look back and take stock on what an achievement it was. But we were just, we were 14 hours a day, 5 days a week, 9 months a year for 12 years.
And that was a Spielberg produced as well, right?
Yeah, that's when we met for the first time.
Is that the first time you had him? Yeah.
Yeah, we go back quite a ways.
You know what, Noah, you talk about working those long days and stuff. Steve and I, and actually all of us, we've just had a little touch with television and what it's like. Our friends run the television show It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia, so they've invited us to be on a couple of episodes. And it seems like when you're filming, a day of filming, there's a lot of hurry up and wait involved in that, isn't there?
Yeah, depending on the project, especially one like this, which has so many special effects elements, where you have to hang a green screen and you have to make sure the eye lines are all right, it can take forever.
Talking about the effects with this show, some of the aliens appear to be not CGI, and you actually capture one.
The pilot was all CG. It was all tennis balls on sticks and pieces of tape. And then when we went to series, we built a suit, and we had a guy in the suit.
It looks cool. I like the addition of, and I don't know if he's going to be a continuing character. Mind you, I don't want to give away any too much, but Steven Weber shows up as a doctor with shady ramifications. Is he going to be a continuing character?
No, we kill him off pretty quick.
Well, you guys had a good chemistry. See, that's where the I want to stress that to people going to watch the show, that TNT does the right thing. You got to let it breathe. And at the third episode, that's when it sunk. Okay, this is the tone. I got it. And it was like, yes. All right, here we go.
Yeah, it's really smart storytelling, like any good science fiction yarn. The more questions that get answered, the more they get posed. And there's a couple good twists and turns. And by the end of the first season, these characters have to radically reassess everything that they've learned so far because they realize they've misread the situation completely.
And you're doing things that you probably would not have considered, you know, in your regular life, character-wise.
No, I got to ride a motorcycle. Yeah. I got to shoot machine guns. I got to do all this stuff. It's
yes.
all good fun.
Have you finished shooting the entire season?
Yeah, we finished in November. Just sitting and waiting for June to come around.
And then how much of it have you been able to watch? Have you watched the whole season?
I've seen the whole season, yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah. Really proud of it.
We would talk to, we were big fans of the TV show Lost, and some of the cast members of Lost would watch the show, and then some of them wouldn't, and they'd get wrapped up in their own TV show, in the script of it, because the mysteries would unfold week after week after week, and that's kind of cool to hear that you are a fan of a project that you're doing.
You gotta be, otherwise it makes the days even longer. And it makes going around city to city selling it even harder.
Yeah, I'm working on a real turd here.
But the turd is paying the bills.
I don't like
so,
it personally,
yeah.
But I hope you do.
Yeah. But you know what, I totally trust Steve here in anything like a sci-fi horror action adventure, and if he is behind something, I'm like, okay, you know, maybe I'll go check that out.
Chances are you'll like it.
And Steve was watching it and he's telling me this stuff off air, so I know that it's true. But he said this is a really, really good show, so I can't wait for the premiere. And I'm going to do that. I'm not going to watch the screeners that you have.
I know. The one problem with the screener, not in 5.1 surround, but otherwise it was awesome. It was I do enjoy it. I love stuff like this. And that's why I want, you know, you get the show comes on and then goes away. I'm glad it's on TNT because I really think it's off to a good start. And I love, you know, there's a sequence in the first hour where all of this hellacious stuff is happening. But your son, he gets a skateboard and he just and so the whole collective in that sort of Spielbergian type way. I don't know who's responsible for it, but everyone just stops and watches and remembers what it was like to take simple joy in before this hell that they're in.
Yeah.
What it's like to just watch a kid have fun.
Yeah, you know? Every episode we try to show the obvious cons to the situation, but the more subtle pros as well. These characters are living in a high state of deprivation under a huge level of threat that's ever present. But at the same time, the relationships become a lot more authentic in the face of that.
Yeah.
And kids have to sort of rely on their imaginations more than Xbox and video games. Sort of we get back some of the things that we've lost in a highly technologically advanced society that make us more intrinsically human, which is
kind of
cool.
It's cool. I like the tone of it. Did anybody have the fourth episode, Benny?
Well, it's called Falling Skies. Noah Wiley, thanks for being here.
My pleasure. Thank you.
Let's give some love to him, Noah Wiley.
Yeah!
Take a break. We'll be right back. Stay there.
The Preston and Steve Show podcast, 93.3 WMMR, everything that rocks.
I've been doing the martial arts training for a while now, so that's my aerobic activity. And this week, I'm going to start going to a weight trainer, and I'm going to start, you know, pumping some iron, try and get a little muscle built up on this whole thing. So I'm going to begin. I've never really done the gym per se, the weight lifting stuff.
Right.
So I'm going to begin that.
Not at all. Any sort of.
Played around with it just a tiny bit. I had a trainer for a couple of months. Just kind of it was a promotion thing that we were doing back at Y and did that for a little while. It was cool, but I wasn't that interested in it back then. So
it's good to tune it up a bit.
It is. Yeah. So this time around, I'm gonna try and take it a little more seriously.
I think I'm gonna start going.
Yeah. Jesus. Steve lives at the freaking gym.
Ken, I just want to suggest one thing: is when you do start, don't go balls out, really, because
keep them in the shorts. Yeah. Because you know why? They'll get caught in the right, Casey.
Usually, there's
in the lat machine.
Yeah.
All the time.
They have warnings and
keep your balls in.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, I did do it the one time, Casey, you were right. It started feeling good with my balls out. It started feeling good, and I started pushing it too hard, and I hurt my shoulder. I have issues with my rotator cuff.
Same thing. Which side?
Both. They're both bad.
Really?
Yeah.
You have to have someone who knows how to you know, strategically lead you through the deal. I go to Vertex, and my trainer's Dwayne. When I go in and I tell him, you know, if I have a soreness or something, he will work around it so I don't keep agitating.
And you guys are doing, you work with Dwayne. So Dwayne is with you the entire time. Are you going to do it with an actual trainer?
Yeah, yes.
Because I can't.
Not every time.
Yeah.
But on occasion, I mean, like.
You can be a cardboard cutout.
Well, yeah. Now, every couple weeks, I'm going to get a checkup to see how am I doing. But they're going to give me the routine to do.
So. I don't like doing it. I don't like people getting in my face telling me what to do. And I go by myself. And I do like the hammer strength machines.
I do too, yeah.
Yeah, because you don't need a spotter for that sort of stuff. If you can't get the weight up, you don't have to. But listen, when I used to go to Bally's next to Y100, right. I went by myself, and this guy would come in a couple times a week. And if he walked by me as I was finishing up a set or whatever, and I'm done, he would get in my face and be like, "Come on, man, one more,
Did he work there?
No, he was just a guy who went there.
Trying to like help you out a little bit.
Yeah, like I've gone to because for most of my life I worked out by myself. I always had the equipment and so on.
Yeah.
And I go to a real clanky gym, like a real, you know. And there are dudes who do that who just what they figure they're helping you. Come on, don't leave it in the gym. Leave it in the gym. If you keep screaming at me, I'm going to leave a turd in the gym. Scared the crap out of me.
And it's distracting. It's so distracting. Yeah. But yeah, like, I never, the dude was huge, so I never told him not to do that. But yeah.
You did, but yeah. Shut up, you.
Stop talking. Leave me alone. I used to go to a gym, and there was a guy there who would refer to himself as Mac Daddy.
And he would refer to himself as this?
Yeah, when he was working out,
he would talk to himself?
Come on, Mac Daddy, yeah! Lift those weights! Come on, Mother Effer!
He was doing this by himself to himself.
He's cursing.
Cursing at the weights.
He's cursing and he's calling himself Mac Daddy?
Yeah.
Well, now, let me ask you, what kind of gym apparel would he wear?
he was kind of like, it wasn't that bad. I mean, it just like normal.
Was it like Joey Buttafuoco workout pants?
Yeah, kind of.
The Zeke Cavaricci?
Was there the slight hint of a mullet working?
Slightly, not
a full mullet. Just what's happening is that he is in the correcting stage of earlier mullet.
You know, those guys are the best. No, they're not.
They're fun to watch.
They're fun to watch and then talk about it. When you're in the gym, you're right. They're really annoying. The guy in my gym who was the favorite was the scene in Boogie Nights where Marky Mark is practicing his karate in front of the mirror. I swear to God, the guy he'd lift the weights and then he'd do the little flex move and then like the posing move where he'd go down low and arch his back in front of the mirror all the time. And I'm just like, dude, there are at least a dozen people watching you make an ass out of yourself.
Unless you're in like a real deal. Like bodybuild. If you're doing that at Lucille Roberts,
right?
That's a problem.
Is that a woman?
If you're at like a real bodybuilder gym, that makes sense.
It was the mainline YMCA.
When the woman next to you is on a Pilates ball, you're going. Yeah!
But this guy at my gym was so loud, like you could just hear it through the entire gym, and it's like, stop it. I don't want to listen to you do that. Like, I mean, a little bit's okay.
Are there some gyms that don't allow that?
I've
been at gyms where they will not. They ask you to keep it down to not scream, mm-hmm. and also that some where they don't allow. It's hard for me when I'm working out to not blurt out a profanity.
I mean, a little bit's okay.
Yeah.
No, there was a gym in New York. It was just, it was a few months ago. It was in the news. And they passed, like, basically a rule at the gym. No screamers. Yellers or, yelling or screaming, while you're lifting weights at the gym.
It was the sports clubs, right?
Yeah.
The New York sports clubs, and then they have them in Philadelphia as well, the branch down here.
And Ron Palillo's gym.
No. But I think they applied that rule to gyms in this area. Nothing to do with Horseshack.
No. You know what? Our friend, Matt Cord's friend, Bozzy, he just opened up a gym down on Rock Hill. I wish I knew the name. I can't remember. It's like my personal something or other.
My Little Pony gym?
But
I
stopped in there the other day because I didn't know he had opened it up. It's a smaller place, and what happens is women go there and people who don't want to be around the screamers and the meatheads and all that sort of stuff because they sort of make you feel a little self-conscious about what you're doing in the gym.
Well, a gym that's run properly or like with my situation with Vertex, they purposely make sure you're not in that situation where you're where you've got some dude next to you who's curling a Volvo and you need to focus in on what you're doing.
Yeah,
I hate the gyms that are like pickup places too, that are like singles bars, because then you have. It's an entirely different vibe. It's just annoying.
Well, the same Mac Daddy guy.
Mac Daddy! Come on, Mother Effer! It's great to work out when you're schizophrenic!
Well, after he was done screaming at himself, he would, kind of walk by the ladies and be like, hey, ladies.
Oh, you're kidding me.
Yeah, like, hey, ladies, you want some of this?
No.
I mean, he was joking, but I think really, not really.
There's no way you could ever say.
Yeah!
There's no way, even if you're joking to women that way, there's no way that it will ever read as anything other than sincere.
By the way,
right? Because even it was a joke. Yeah, sure.
Yeah, sure. By the way, if this guy listens, I love you so much. He very well may listen.
Well, you just simply comment. You're not saying you don't enjoy it. You just say it's a little strange.
It's just a little much for me.
How old would you say he is? 30s?
Yeah, probably.
Okay, and he's screaming at himself.
Yeah.
Is he buff?
Yeah. Okay. He's, I mean, yeah, I guess.
Do you think Nick's size?
Because I'm huge.
So, some of those guys have to be doing it to get attention from everyone else in the gym, right?
That's what I think.
Well, that's exactly. The people who do it because they are simply motivating themselves to do it, you can tell the difference. The people who are putting on a show, it's laughable. One of the funniest I ever saw, Preston, a dude was doing that in a gym. He was curling the dumbbells. He goes, come on! And he's standing in front of the wall of mirrors.
Yeah, yeah.
He throws both of the dumbbells into the mirror. And it cost him like $300. The mirror was like 6x6. It was huge. And the whole thing just exploded. It looked like he actively wanted to throw dumbbells.
Come on!
Yeah!
Sorry.
Sorry about that.
Broke you, meal.
Hang on, let me go to Brian, who works at a gym. Hey, Brian, good morning. You're on, man.
Hey, what's going on, Reba? Hey, there is a Mac Daddy at every single gym.
I believe it, man. You've probably seen, I don't know how many of those guys, right?
I'm standing at the front desk at a Jersey Batters right now, but I used to work at a gym in Long Island.
Yeah.
I wish I knew the guy's name. He wore gardening gloves.
Whereabouts in Long Island? Do you remember what town?
Oh yeah, it was Ronkonkoma.
Okay, all right, okay. I'm gonna
wear mittens.
There was a dude who used to work out with like gardening gloves, and the guy would come in. He would always get reprimanded for not wearing a shirt, but he would wear dark polyester pants, like suit pants,
yes.
No,
and
really?
Black loafers, and I'm like. What? Yeah. That was his workout outfit.
Well, there's a sign in my gym now. You're not allowed to wear jeans. You're not allowed to wear corduroys. And I used to wear corduroys all the time, but now I wear my zip.
Wait, you would work out in corduroys?
Yeah, when I was at Y100.
Start a fire?
No, but I just, what happened was somebody stole stuff out of my locker, one of the first times I went there. So
you figured they wouldn't steal corduroys?
Well, no, I just decided not to change anymore.
His wallet and all that stuff in his pants.
Plus, Casey doesn't like to change. That's why he wears those pants, so he can go right from here to the gym, and he doesn't have to do the whole changing thing. For some reason, he's not a big fan of that.
Yeah, so no cords, none of that, like no open-toed sandals and all that sort of stuff. But you know what? I get so distracted by other people talking and these Mac Daddies and all this sort of stuff. This one time, I was doing a bench press, and you're supposed to breathe out when you're bench pressing, right? So I'm pushing up. And I breathe out really. No. It wasn't that bad, but I'm breathing out really hard. And by breathing out hard, I ended up hocking a loogie, right?
Oh!
And it went straight up like 4 feet and right down in between my eyes. I was like, I almost dropped the bar on my neck after that.
That's funny. Let me go to Tony. Hey, Tony, good morning, man. Tony,
I'm
you there?
I'm the Mac Daddy.
I'm the Mac Daddy. Come on. One more.
And by the way.
I've never been so horny in all my life listening to Kathy scream Mac Daddy. I used to go to the gym. I've been going to the gym for at least 10 plus years. And there used to be a guy who would just literally load all the plates on the leg press machine.
Right, yeah.
To a point where it equaled up to 1,000. So he would, and he wasn't a big guy. He'd just walk around going, "I'm going for a grand! I'm going for the grand!"
Jesus.
He would get there, and rather than doing like the whole press, where at least you come down like a 90-degree angle, he'd come down maybe like 2 inches, throw it back up, make sure he slammed it back up so we all heard the plates rattle, get back up and go, "I'm out of grand!"
I'm going for 10% of a grand, which is about, I guess, about $100. I just did about 10%. Let me get my calculator. So I did 10% of a grand.
Yeah.
The thing that kills me is the guy yelling, "I'm the Mac Daddy." But isn't that, that's antiquated terminology at this point, is it not?
Mac Daddy? Yeah.
Put on my crisscross CD.
Come on, Mac Daddy.
Daddy
come
Mac.
On. Yeah. Come on.
Let me go.
Feel the heat of the rhythm of the night, man.
But if you wanted to be updated, he could just sing the same Jaya song.
Sure, yeah.
Same Jaya. Yeah,
come on, Jaya.
I'm going to go to Corey. Hey, Corey, good morning.
Gadzooks.
What's up, Corey?
I used to have a kid on my football team, and he'd try to outdo everyone else, and he was a big guy. I think he was kind of into that andro type stuff Mark McGuire was taking.
The stuff that gave Mark McGuire breasts.
Right. Yes, exactly. He used to lift either doing the squat or the bench press. I'm sure you're familiar with that.
Yeah.
And if he did it or didn't do it, he would run out and punch a wall. Now, here's the thing. We had drywall and cement block wall.
Oh, God.
He mistook the drywall for the cement block wall and broke most of his hand and couldn't play for the rest of the season.
Oh, that is brilliant, yeah.
While grunting and being a meathead.
People will put on those dramatic... And a lot of times, the guys doing it, like at the real big, clanky weight gyms are guys who are juicing, you know?
You can tell.
You can see the quick way to pick it out... Lots of acne all over the pimples all over the body.
Yeah,
what they call bitch boobs. They don't say boobs, but you can see it.
Muscles look like they're gonna bust out of their skin.
Right. That's why if you ever see like natural bodybuilder competition as opposed to the other ones, they're much smaller.
You know what? I've actually had a guy, and he hasn't said it's steroids or anything like that, but he alludes, he's, I guess, trying to get me steroids. Because, I'm like, I want to drop some weight, I want to do this. He's like, I got something for that. And I'm like, I don't really like taking all the supplements. He goes, it's not supplements.
It's called Slim Fat.
Make you fart like crazy.
Hey, by the way, here's an instant message from Chanky. It says, do you think people at Kathy's gym get distracted by the orgasm she has?
I can't use that machine because people, I like semen. If there are a lot of people at the gym when I'm there, I won't use it because I know that some of the people, listen to the show. They actually, will play the show in the morning in the gym that I go to now.
Oh, well, thank you.
And I know people know about that, so I can't go on it.
Well, for those who don't remember, there is a particular apparatus at the gym that apparently will have Kathy reaching climax.
That never happened.
It's a leg raise machine. And actually, we know... circuitously know someone who it happens every time she works out on.
Every time she does any sort of ab exercise, it will happen.
By the way, here's your crisscross.
The thing is, he's got to wear his Cavaricci's backwards.
That's right, to be in with Criss Cross. Mac Daddy.
Do you still go to this gym?
I was trying not to say that, but...
Okay. Well, no, I would love to get audio of the Mac Daddy.
If you can record him, that'd be awesome.
If you can, it's sort of a tribute
I know that they listen to the show, so I don't dislike this guy or anything. It's just for me. It's a little much. But
Come on, Mac and G.
let me go to Matt, who's on hold. Hey, Matt, you're on. Good morning, man.
Wee! Look what I get to do! There was this guy that I know who powerlifts, and before he would, powerlift, and, he would really amp himself up,
he would actually crack his head over the bar and like bleed all over the place.
Some dudes do stuff like that, and those are the guys that I think are on something because it's Preston, they'll do that like that.
Roid rage.
See guys do like pound their chest and do all that stuff. It's like
you're a man.
Yeah, are you actually competing for $1 million? No, no, I'm an accountant. Well, then you can calm down.
Well, and you know what? If there's a couple of them, they egg each other on.
The little collectives, especially you see the guys who don't quite have it, you know, like Revenge of the Nerds at the gym.
Yeah.
You know, it's come on, 90, man, do 90 pounds. Come on.
90 pounds, man.
It's quite a lot, right?
Instant message from Margot Booty. It says, you were just talking about Matt Cord's friend Chris Bozzi. Bozzi. His gym is called Right Now Fitness, Casey. And it says, and I work there right now.
They blast MMR there all the time. He's friends with the station.
Come on, Mac Daddy!
Yeah, Mac Daddy!
Right Now Fitness! Yes! Yeah! Welcome to My Little Pony Gym.
Let me go to Brandon. Hey, Brandon, good morning.
Good morning. Gadzooks.
What's up, Brandon?
Not much. I was going to say, I work for a mirror guy, and it's unbelievable how much weight these guys lift. They hurt themselves, and they end up throwing the dumbbells into the mirror. We replace, at least a couple mirrors once a month at all the LA Fitnesses in the area.
Well, from somebody throwing weights into them.
Yeah, we've actually had to replace bathroom mirrors, too, because somebody keeps running into them, getting all spiked and everything.
I've seen mirrors, so many mirrors over the years that I've been working out. There was a dude doing a bench press, and he didn't put the collars on the outside of the weights, and it happened to be perpendicular to the mirror. So he lifts up the one side, and all the weights on the other side.
I love that. Anytime you've seen somebody lift up a bar and then half the weight slide up on one side.
I used to work out by myself and I'd put up like 300 pounds, you know, I'd put out a fair amount of weight, which was retarded.
You do by yourself?
So, yeah, especially that one wonderful incident where I sneezed while working out. And though, so like seconds later, I'm enjoying the thrill of having said bar on my throat.
Oh God!
And so I'm like rocking, the weights back and forth, sliding them off one at a time.
By the way, I have to mention this because Bubba Dennis told this great story of I guess it's a kid that he coaches or something. apparently, Dennis was walking by and he caught the kid posing in the mirror.
No, this was at the gym. It's one I know the guy that.
Oh really?
Yeah.
Oh, okay, so now he calls him Muscles Marinara.
In some places, that's the rule of thumb. All the guys are there; they're competing. That's understandable.
Yeah.
But again, like if you're at a at Lucille Roberts, it's not quite the same.
Steve, I love that name.
You reminded me when I was in high school. I was doing the curling bar, and I forgot to put the collars on the curling bar.
Was it the preacher bench curl?
No. I was doing the standing curl. I was doing a standing curl, and I guess I tilted one way too much, and the weights fell off on the one side, which then made me go like this onto the other side, and I smashed myself in the side of the head.
With the bar?
With the bar, yeah.
That's how I injured my rotator cuff with doing something like that, where the parts of one of the dumbest exercise injury I ever had was I'd come in from outside. It was raining outside, and there was the springs where you put your foot to the bottom, you can do the curls. It just slid right off the bottom, and I basically rubber band a curling device into my face, and I still have a scar like under my eyebrow from it, but it just
after I,
like, and then you turn around, I meant to do that.
Not me. I was like, I'm never lifting weights again.
I hate muscle. Let me do it, John. I don't want muscle.
Oh man! And you
come on, Mac Daddy, get it together.
Come on, Papa Smurf, come on.
Oh my God, dear Lord.
Well, this guy brings up, I guess, on two, Preston.
Line two?
Eric, yeah.
All right, let me go to him. Hi, Eric. Good morning.
Hey, what's up, man? You guys rock.
Hey, what's up, buddy?
Yeah, two quick comments. Yeah. First off, Kathy telling that story about that dude has me roaring. That is one of the funniest things I've ever heard. Yeah. You think of the dude on the Verizon VCast commercial.
Exactly.
This dude gets me
pumped! But he's listening to, like, John Blunt.
Fallout Boy.
So
if you go to a gym, they're not listening to Fallout Boy. They're like, yeah, it's the newest one from Paula Cole.
No, man, listen, my gym, and I love LA Fitness, but they play some... Like, I'm listening to Britney Spears and Justin Timberlake.
Oh, really?
And yeah. Oh, yeah. And they played the Fall Out Boy every single day. And I go,
listen, it's a fine song, but when you're working out, at least I want something a little aggressive.
My when I do the martial arts training, my instructor always puts on, like,
good music.
It's nothing but Slayer and Rage Tool. And just the most hardcore stuff you can put on.
At the gym that I go to now, they have, in, like, the weight room, they'll play, actually, MMR. They play it all day. But then in, like, where the cardio room is, where I guess the women tend to work out more, it's like B101.
Actually,
perfect for working out.
So, you know, the iPods are the big things, and there's actually a dude
with
in my
the kids
gym
these days.
Yeah, the whippersnappers. But this one guy, he will dance in between sets, and he'll be like, yeah. You can hear him like singing, like,
oh, man. Yeah. Hang on, one more quick call because we got to take a break here in a moment. Hey, Joe, you're on. Good morning, man.
Hey, you guys rock.
Hey, thank you, Joe. What's up, bud?
Hey, listen, I go to a gym in Delaware here, and there's a woman here. We call her Muscle Mama because she's about 55 years old. And granted, she's in great shape. Yeah. But about maybe a year or so ago, she had a breast job done.
Okay,
now they're three times the size of her head. she's about as thick as a straw.
Oh, my God.
And she sits on them. Well, I don't know what the machine's called, but it's the one where it spreads your legs out. I call it the crotch exercise.
I think it's they call the abductor?
The awesome machine.
Yeah.
You're right.
She gets on that, and as she's working, she's like, yeah. You ever seen muscles like this on a mama? That's right. You call me Muscle Mama. I'm like, please, I want to call you. I'm ready to throw up. And she's the only one in the whole gym who does it. There's not any guys who do it. I mean, there's a big guy there, but...
An old woman.
You bring up a good point. When bodybuilders, female bodybuilders, get very lean and then, you know, and then get breast implants, it looks bizarre.
Oh, yeah.
It looks like they've taped dodgeballs to their chest.
Yeah. No, you're right, because you can clearly see the full implant.
Because the fat would have, you know, all the fat's gone to sort of smooth it over.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah! So we gotta, if we can meet Mac Daddy or get audio of Mac Daddy.
Maybe I'll come in. You want him to come in?
Yeah, sure.
I'm dying.
I don't know. I'll see.
All right, well,
if I'm
anyway.
Still loud back in my gym. I love you guys. Super fit. It's awesome. Go there. It's in Conshohocken.
We've got to take a break. We'll be back in just a second. Stay on.
Not only can you hear Preston and Steve, you can see them too. Check out the Weekly Rush on Xfinity On Demand. New episodes, you guessed it, weekly.
Say goodbye to juggling paper coupons and missing out on the best deals. Download the Acme mobile app today to have your own personal grocery guru right in your pocket. Use it to plan your shopping list like a pro. Get personalized deals on the products you buy most and choose your shopping style. Whether it's in-store, delivery, or drive-up, where an experienced Acme associate will carefully select, bag your order, even pick up your prescriptions from the pharmacy, and bring it all right to your car. Acme. Fresh foods, local flavors. Say goodbye to juggling paper coupons and missing out on the best deals. Download the Acme mobile app today to have your own personal grocery guru right in your pocket. Use it to plan your shopping list like a pro. Get personalized deals on the products you buy most and choose your shopping style. Whether it's in-store, delivery, or drive-up, where an experienced Acme associate will carefully select, bag your order, even pick up your prescriptions from the pharmacy and bring it all right to your car. Acme. Fresh foods, local flavors.
Back with more of the Preston and Steve Show podcast.
Now, bizarre. WMMR presents bizarre. Kristen and Steve's Bizarre File.
A 15-month-old toddler had to be rushed to the hospital after an Applebee's in Michigan reportedly served him alcohol in his kid's meal by accident.
What?
He was okay. He didn't suffer any real damage. The boy's mother, Taylor Reese, said that her son started to act strange after drinking from his sippy cup.
Chicken nuggets, some yogurt, and a scotch, please.
So she tasted the drink and found out it was margarita mix.
Whoa.
And I guess it had a little tequila in it, too.
The boy was taken to the hospital. I saw a clip of her on the news this morning where she said that he was saying goodbye to the walls while they were taking him out, and he wanted to lay down
and
have a nap. He was taken to the hospital where doctors said his alcohol level had reached 0.10, which is over the legal limit for adult drivers.
Right.
The mother said nobody at the table ordered alcoholic drinks, so he definitely shouldn't have received one. Applebee's said that it was the incident was inexcusable, and they apologized.
It's maternity mayhem Thursdays.
Yeah, exactly. You never know.
Yeah, you never know who's going to get the booze.
A man in Germany who opened a museum filled with toilet-related accessories has a unique urinal with Adolf Hitler's face inside of it.
Take a look at this.
Michael...
Just yours in the toilet. Yeah. Very funny. Waka, waka, waka.
Michael Berger's collection includes toilet roll holders.
Toilet roll holders.
Toilet seats.
Toilet seats.
As well as toilet brushes.
Toilet brushes and just a few at the bottom of the toilet.
The toilet brushes...
on his face. Say, you're bad Führer for killing all the Jews.
They have facial expressions painted on them.
I think that's appropriate. Taking a whiz on the Führer.
The Hitler urinal was designed after World War II as a protest of the Nazi regime. Berger says, "This is my present to humanity. I am mad, but I love toilets." So that's okay. What he decided to do.
And I'm very lonely.
Yep. For at least 4 days, a deer has been guarding the nest of a Canadian goose at a cemetery in Buffalo, New York.
Wow.
Wildlife Administrator Joel Thomas said that he does appear to be guarding the goose, as it were. He's within touching distance of her. There's no doubt what's going on. Another SPCA representative said that the event isn't much different from a Disney story.
Yeah, sure, I'm protecting the bird.
The situation was first discovered with the deer when the deer put itself between the bird and an employee of a company that traps and relocates geese. Thomas said that they can only guess at why the deer has chosen to protect this particular goose.
It's clearly a financial arrangement.
Speculating, does he know she's nesting? I don't know. Is he going to leave when the chicks hatch? I don't know. If the deer is determined, he's going to be on the job for at least 3 weeks.
What's your business with the goose today?
In case there is any... He's a personal assistant. in case there was any...
You're not on the list.
Doubt about the situation.
I have squirrel, badger, and chicken.
Said the deer and the goose are not in love.
Badger got in.
Yeah.
Well, he knows the squirrel.
A man who allegedly blew out his son's stereo speakers with a shotgun after complaining about loud music will not be charged. Stanislaw Jarmilek, something Polish.
He just sounds happy.
What is W-I-C-Z pronounced?
Which?
Yeah. All right. Jarmolowicz.
Jamon.
Jarmolowicz. There we go. Yeah. Stanislaw Jarmolowicz. Was arrested Monday at his home. Jarmolowicz asked his 24-year-old son several times to either turn down the music or put on headphones.
Turn down Lil Wayne.
The son said that he turned down the stereo, but dad thought he didn't, and he shot the speakers out with a shotgun after first telling his son to get out of the way. He did not intend to harm the son, who was not injured, and they have charged him with criminal negligence could not be proved, so they did not charge him with it, and he's going to be okay, even though he shot out the...
It's what you call tough love.
Speakers, yes. Archaeologists in Prague say that they've uncovered a Stone Age man buried in a position usually reserved for women, but media claims of a gay caveman may be exaggerated.
A gay man.
The gay caveman. The skeleton...
Listen, I just don't like Mastodon. And every time I turn around, you're walking through the cave entrance. Guess what I killed? Let me guess. Is it a mastodon? Not like I've told you 1,000 times. It gets caught in my teeth.
The skeleton, which dates back to...
Louie, you invented fire. How long am I going to hear that one?
Dates back to about 2500 to 2800 BC and was found in the outskirts of Prague. The culture...
That's
the man-
Og, Brick, and I'm Deshaun.
The... The culture the man belonged to, known as the corded ware culture, for their pottery decorated with the impressions of twisted cord.
Look at that. Isn't that great? That's a little flower and a little butterfly. I just decorated that.
They were very finicky about grave rituals.
A little finicky.
The corded ware males usually buried on their right sides with their heads facing east. This man, however, was buried on his left with his head facing west, a traditionally female position.
Did they say what the direction indicated as far as besides gender?
Yeah, yeah. They found one very specific grave of the man lying in the position of a woman without gender-specific grave goods.
Just bury me face up, if you know what I'm saying.
Neither
just can't decide.
Jewelry.
That'd be our little secret.
Or weapons. The man may have belonged to a third gender.
Called the fabulous gender.
This designation is for people who may be viewed as neither male nor female, or some combination of both. In some cases, third gender individuals are thought to be able to switch between male and female depending on circumstance. Modern examples include the...
Richard Simmons?
No. The Hijras of India and the... Fine.
Casey, look at this. Am I right?
Yeah, fine.
It's F A
apostrophe
A F A F I N E. Fine. From Polynesia.
No wonder why they went missing.
The skeleton.
I'm just not saying that name. Stupid.
I won't do it. The skeleton has been trumpeted in the media as belonging.
They're from the Snuffleupagus tribe.
As belonging to a homosexual caveman, but some archaeologists are skeptical of that claim.
Okay, all right, that's interesting. So, of that Fahar tribe, do they cross dress? Because we're seeing pictures here that look like.
Oh, those are men.
Yeah, transvestite.
Wow.
Yeah.
Hawaiians.
Those are big, burly Samoan-looking guys.
Yeah, with flowers in their hair.
Right. And like, look at the hand gesture on this one guy.
What is
Could that be more stereotypical?
Yoo-hoo!
Toodles.
Hello.
I'll meet you by the volcano. That is an unpleasant looking cross dressing.
What is that? Oh, my goodness.
That is bad.
Yeah, it is.
Search it today. F-A apostrophe A-F-A-F-I-N-E. And someone's wearing boxing gloves dressed as a woman.
Right.
That's very bizarre. All right, anyhow.
Well, it's red and black. It's a good color
combination. It's considered a third gender, so that's kind of strange. That's what I have in the bizarre file for you. We're going to take a break.
That was an interesting affectation.
Almost made it out. If you hadn't giggled, I wouldn't have.
That's what I did.
Coming up next.
Stay right where you are. We'll be right back.
Now that we're actually leaving the house more often, WMMR reminds you, you're gonna have to put on some clothes.
People!
And if you gotta get dressed, why not step up your wardrobe game with the coolest threads from the MMR Rock Shop? There's tons of new and throwback MMR designs to choose from that you can't get anywhere else. Look, you can't go out there naked, okay? Seriously, no. So shop the Rock Shop at WMMR.com. All the merch that rocks. And don't forget your pants.
I think it's safe to say that our next hometown guest got himself a fairly high-profile gig. And everybody found out who it was, but he's also knows one of the more versatile jazz musicians in the industry. You know him from The Tonight Show with Jay Leno. Kevin Eubanks!
Yeah. Really here? Is that him? He's here.
He's here. Yeah.
How you guys doing?
What's We're great. Up? We're great, man. How are you?
Good.
Excellent.
Man.
Excellent. You know what? I was telling these guys off air. When I was in high school, I was in jazz band and music theory and all this stuff. I was a band geek.
All right.
And occasionally, no, actually only once. We had a big name musician stop by, or at least he was to me.
All right.
A jazz musician, a drummer named Duffy Jackson. I don't know if you're familiar
Duffy
with him.
Duffy Jackson.
But he played with Count Basie's orchestra and stuff like that. I mean, it was a big deal. And that made such an impression on me. I was just blown away by it.
Cool.
And that's kind of what you're doing, right? You guys are going out and visiting these high school jazz musicians.
Well, I go out, and it's set up to be jazz and all that. But when I'm kind of changing the program a little bit, and I just invite the dance department, I invite the choir, I invite visual artists and the musicians. And it doesn't have to be jazz. You can play whatever.
Okay.
And when we get there, We create a song. We do choreography with the dancers and everything. Hopefully, by the end of the hour and a half or 2 hours, we have this like program that everybody's doing something. But the students do a lot of the work themselves.
That's cool.
And we kind of make up a song. They elect who's going to be the choreographer, who's going to be head of the choir. Sometimes a visual artist will draw an artist rendering of what's happening. And,
oh man! And this is over the course of how long?
Less than 2 hours.
No wow. kidding!
Yeah. What a cool work.
It's a big project.
Man. And they do it themselves. Though I just go, okay, all the dancers over here. Okay. Who's going to be the leader? Who's going to be the choreographer for the dancers? And then they giggle and call each other names. Right. And then somebody is the head person. And they say, well, who's running the band? And they do the same thing. And then they say, okay, all the leaders of the thing, let's have a talk. You guys got to do this and all that. And I'm going to check back with you in 15 minutes and see what happens.
Oh, okay.
And they do it like that. And I didn't even know what I was doing. I just went to a school one day and they had all this stuff going on. I said, well, let's. You know, I act like we do this all the time and it just works. So now I do it every time.
Okay.
But it's a lot more fun and it's more inclusive than just having the band playing or something like
sure.
that.
Sure. Everyone a gets fun. A shot. Yeah.
Yeah. And I don't have to do as much work.
Yeah. Right. That's the best way. Yeah. Yeah.
They do it all themselves.
I'll be in the teacher's lounge.
What high school did you go to, Kevin?
I've been all over LA and I just came back from Chicago.
No, I mean you graduate.
Where Germantown.
You went to Germantown?
Yeah.
What was, how important was the music program to you there? Were you a band geek or anything? Or?
It was. Yeah.
I mean, because you play guitar. There's really not much at high school.
No, I was playing trumpet and baritone there.
Did you do violin a little bit, too?
Yeah, but that was when I was a kid.
Okay. And, that didn't stick, did
that
it?
Was, no, that was... You don't even want to talk about
yeah,
that.
Yeah, you weren't going to get laid off. Yeah.
After I finished playing violin. No, high school, we don't need to talk about that either. That was a whole different, you know... That was a whole different
when,
thing.
When did it? When did
don't
it,
look like you want to talk about it, man.
Why? It couldn't have been. Was it bad? Or?
I don't remember a lot of it. All right. Like all that. Right.
Oh, I got you. Yeah.
Jay's. Yeah. Jay's ripping on you.
I was studying so hard. I didn't even remember.
Yeah, man. That's what it was.
You know.
Same with Preston.
Me too.
Same deal with, yeah.
But at least we had a music program. A lot of schools don't have music programs anymore. That's why I'm getting around the country doing more of it, because they're taking all music teachers and they're firing them and giving them pink slips. And
if I barely graduated from high school, if they didn't have a music program, I would not have graduated from high school. Right. I honestly would
a
not.
Lot my, of people tell me that.
My grades were that bad, and I needed those A's that I got from symphonic band and jazz lab and all that stuff to boost my GP up to the meager score that
also
it was.
Passing
just to keep,
grade, yeah.
Just to keep you interested, Press. Yeah, I mean, all too, the other that stuff too, was just not interesting to you.
I'm wondering what problem is solved by making students dumber. Well, you know,
right? Yeah.
It's not, well, we have to cut this and cut that. Really, you know, let's figure this out. Okay, let's not educate them. And you know, I don't know what problem that's solving, but it's kind of weird.
Do you dig the process of teach? Because I mean, what you do by this, I mean, you could have cases like Preston. You'd set somebody's mind in a way like. I could actually do this.
I was hanging out with people like Preston. That was the problem. I had,
were you buying
a buddy like him?
Were you buying your stuff from people like
Preston? We both barely made it. No, actually teaching, I never liked teaching, you know. And even though my mom taught music in public school for 35 years and all my family and everybody, I went to school to be a music education, but I left because I was touring all the time. Yeah. And I didn't like it. It's so draining. You know, but apparently I'm good at it.
Did you teach at Rutgers for a little bit? Or?
Yeah, I taught at Rutgers. I taught in Banff up in Canada. I taught in Italy. I taught across, you know.
You taught in Banff, Canada?
Yeah, man.
Wow. And
for like 5 years.
Canadian Rockies. That's sort of an odd place to end up.
I know. It's beautiful up
it
there.
It is.
Hey, I hear they have great pot up there.
In Canada?
Well, stop. I'm blushing, okay?
I'm blushing.
Good skiing and a lot of outdoor activity.
Can't you tell?
Here we go.
Well, Kevin, how did you get the Tonight Show gig? How did that come about?
A buddy of mine was the band leader and said, Kev, let's go do this show in L.A. I was living in Allentown, Pennsylvania.
Was it Branford?
Branford.
No kidding, man.
Yeah. We've been buddies from... first year in college and everything.
He's a character.
So he's like, yeah, let's do this, you know, I need a guitar player in a band. Let's go to L.A. and do this. And So finally I did. I packed up my two CDs and my two guitars and left. And then after a couple of years, he said, yo, bro, I'm splitting. And so Jay said, hey, the guitar guy. and that's how that happened.
Well, he must have picked up on your personality, because you're not going to be the band leader. You can be a top-notch musician, but if you don't have the personality to back up
the
band.
He liked pizza. At the time, I was eating pizza. He just thought, oh, yeah. You know, give him a shot.
It looked as if Branford wanted to stick a knife in Jay, because Branford is a genius. He's, you know,
right.
as that family. But you could tell that, you know, Branford was there to play music and wasn't going to suffer the jokes that much, you know. And did you have any sort of, hey, let's sit down and just riff a little bit thing, just to make sure you'd be the good band leader foil for him? Or did you just go cold?
No, I just go cold.
Really?
We never talked over anything ever.
Okay.
You know,
and it just worked out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And after 5 years, I said, wow, what's going on? It just kept happening. And, you know, we just got closer and closer and the whole thing. So just kept working.
Was your relationship show only, or did it extend outside the show?
Just went to movies a lot, and then we started arguing because he never would eat a vegetable, and I stopped eating pizza. And
you're a pescatarian, right?
Yeah. And he would never let me drive any of his cars.
Are you kidding?
Not one car. I never seen anyone drive one of Jay's cars.
He's very protective of his vehicles. I know, he's a fanatic. Yeah,
he just don't even. My whole thing is, I park next to him in the lot. You know, I just was like, I'm never going to nick this man's car, you know. And a couple of times I got close, too.
Would he drive something? Would he drive something different all the time?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Every day.
Wow.
And so he had some steamer or some, you know. And
Stanley steamer.
I really don't care about cars that much.
Carpet cleaner.
So he would come with all his cars. I said, Cat, look at this. I was like, okay, it's four wheels, a steering wheel. I got one.
Oh, this one's real. You know,
and he would just, you know, he said, you don't know any. I said, no, man. And he liked the whole this steam engine from World War I or something. And it's a boxcar with a jet engine in it, and it would always break down. And I was all these oil slicks in the parking lot and everything. And I'd be in a little Honda or something and say, Jay, you need a lift, you know? Yeah. Get a real car, man. Something that's going to, like, you know. He laughed, but not really. Didn't really, yeah.
If you're just tuning in, it's Kevin Eubanks, who's sitting in our studio. I did see a bit one time that Jay did kind of poking some fun at you, and I thought it was humorous because we're familiar with the area, obviously, but he said you were from Germantown, and they went with a live shot of Germantown, and it was everybody dancing around in, like, lederhosen. I thought that was pretty funny. That was pretty good.
You suffered, though. You caught a lot of crap. You always were showing your hometown pride with the jerseys and the hats.
Right,
which sports team jersey caught you the most crap out in L.A.?
Sixers.
The Sixers.
Oh, especially
really?
In the NBA Finals. Yeah, I remember that whole... Yeah,
the Lakers. Yeah.
Yeah, and I love dogging the Lakers. Even if they won, I just dogged them anyway, no matter what. I remember one time Shaq came down to my office, and we've been, you know, friends for years.
Yeah.
And he opened the door, and this huge guy, he had to stoop down, turn to the left, kind of angle himself through the doorway. Say, hey, Kevin, I just want to see where you stay at. Yeah, man. He said, why are you wearing a Sixers jersey? I said, I'm from Philly. He said, oh, you're from Philly. His whole voice changed. Oh, man, you're supposed to wear your hometown jersey. Yeah, but he got it. Yeah. And when Kobe came on and Phil Jackson came on, they were just, like, growling at me.
Really?
And I would always just give him hell when I was going there.
There's never been a bigger deserter of Philadelphia than Kobe Bryant, man.
Well, Kobe grew up in a different place. I mean, he grew up in Italy and all. So he just got a different way of looking at things. People give Kobe too hard a time. But if Kobe said, oh, I want to be on the Sixers next year, well, he'd be right here.
Of course.
Man, you want a Red Bull?
But he doesn't want to. When the Phils were playing the Dodgers in the NLCS a couple of years ago, he was there with his Dodgers hat on, and somebody had, you know, asked
asked him about being from Philadelphia, and you're right, he's not technically from here. He didn't spend all of his years here, but you know, he just flat out said, "Nah, man, I'm an L.A. guy now." I was like, "Oh, that hurts."
Hey, L.A. treated Kobe great.
So did Lower Marion. We gave him a state championship.
You guys got a helicopter to fly him home from the game.
Yes.
And they name a gym after him or something like
that.
Yeah.
And you know what? He did come back.
The whole gym, the whole thing.
The whole gym. Well, no, he gave money towards that gym, and he did come back for the dedication of the gym.
He built the gym, and they got his name on it. Wow.
Yeah. Well, here's
so
the difference.
So generous in Philly. It's so
Kevin is that out there, he would have Jack Nicholson sitting courtside, but here he would have Jervis from Survivor Season 1.
Oh, man, who could pass that up? You know, come on.
It's a big deal. Now, you're wearing a Flyers cap, and I understand that you hockey, not your first sport, but you're trying to work your way into it.
I'm trying to work my way into it. I'm starting with PlayStation. I got to learn the rules, you know, icing, you know, stuff like that.
And
so, because one of my brothers is really into hockey. So I said, man, I don't understand, you know, what is the stick and the puck thing?
Right.
And he said, man, get PlayStation.
He's right.
And just start playing it. Yeah. And then I started playing, you know. And then now I can follow the puck when I watch it on TV. I go like, nope, that's icing. No, that's this, that's that. And he goes, Kev, I'm proud of you, man. I'm going to give you my Flyers hat, man. And
video games are a great place to learn sports that you're not
but
familiar.
I went to
and
a
hockey,
game, though.
Video game hockey is really
it's really good.
Solid.
Yeah. And they got this big ring around the puck so you can't lose it.
You know
where it is. But I went to a hockey game, and I had the best time.
Yeah?
It's so exciting. It doesn't come across on TV.
No, because you see all the line changes for real and everything, and it's loud.
It's just really exciting, you know.
It's moving all the time.
So I was really shocked because I didn't think I would dig it, but man, I had a blast.
I had a friend who just got into hockey and over the last couple of years, and she thought that icing was when the players skate down and then turn real quick and stop and spray the other players with icing. She's like, oh, he's going to get called for icing.
That's what I thought, too, man. That's she was smart.
Yeah,
don't
give
up. Put her down, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
Is that your girlfriend, man?
No.
Come on.
Idiot. Side action. Yeah.
Icing, huh?
Are you, you went to the Phils game last night?
Yeah.
Did they ask you to do the, any, like, the take me out to the ball game?
Yeah, but I came too late because I was with this guy, Randy Alexander, his publicist. He just got there so late. I couldn't even, you know, it's Kev.
He's a slacker.
I'm just kidding.
He's a slacker. Yeah, yeah.
No, you don't want to hear me sing the national anthem. No, don't get that look in your eye. No. It's better on a violin than it is on a... I just went out, did some interviews, and hung out, and ate way too much food and all that.
Do you get... I mean, obviously, you were on a major show, but you were the band leader. How's your recognition factor out on the streets?
Good.
Yeah.
Good.
Yeah.
People go like, isn't that the guy from some show that, you know, never existed?
I enjoyed you in Jerry Maguire.
Isn't that guy? Yeah.
Show me the money. Show me the money.
I would totally recognize you if I saw you on the street. But I want to. So you can't.
You're
sing
the guy who went to Germantown, right? He's hanging out with this dude, Preston.
But you can't sing at all?
No.
And never
don't
a
even
desire,
start.
Right?
Change the subject now. Let's go. Move on.
This guy's jammed with some of the greatest singers and any instrument, any musician that plays any instrument.
That always baffles me when you take somebody who is so good at you know, just playing music or you know, just an expert at let's say guitar, and you can't like carry a tune. I'm into this guy Derek Trucks. I don't know if you know Derek Trucks, but he can't carry a tune.
No,
you know, he gets his wife to do it for him. You know, and it's a great marriage, and they really do make some great stuff. But I just
Carlos
find that,
Santana, man, you know, classic
another
example.
Guy,
great guitarist, can't sing.
Of the people that you've worked with a lot, just in your regular music career, your own music career, and then obviously with the Tonight Show. Of them all, and this, I know this is probably a loaded question, but who just blew you away when you worked with them? It's like, oh my God, I thought it would be good, not this good.
Oh man, that's a tough question because it's so many people. I loved working with Buddy Guy a lot. When I'm in Chicago, I hang out at his club and jam with him all the time.
Mm-hmm. Legendary.
Solomon Burke. I don't know.
How long
are
you in town
King,
for, by the way?
Willie Nelson. Oh, you know who I really... Oh, this is funny. This is kind of off to... Well, Leanne Rimes, really. I love playing with Leanne Rimes. I started playing Leanne Rimes. She was like 14.
Wow.
You know? And Then one time I came, you know, we kept flying in. One time I came and she was like, that's Leanne?
Yeah.
Whoa,
yeah. I can hit that right now. I can tag that now.
I didn't say that.
That's exactly what you said.
I said that at like 18. No.
That's legal now.
Why are you frowning, man?
<I'm> smiling. Leanne Rimes is hot. She is.
Yeah. She, you know, but she sings her ass off. Can you say ass here?
Yes.
Yeah. What else can you say? Let's get right down to it. What else can you say?
I hit Leanne Rimes. You can say that.
You did?
No.
I thought you had a girlfriend. I do. You know. Faithfulness, man. Come on. Loyalty.
You're right.
Were you like ever a studio musician on any of her albums? Or
No. We just, whenever they would come, they would send the stuff ahead of time and say, oh, especially a lot of country artists, from Vince Gill on, they'd say, well, we really like the way his band plays country music. So all that got around. And whenever most of the country artists came, they would just send a CD and say, Kev, could you do an arrangement? This is the pieces we're bringing. And we would just do it all the time. And after a while, people like Leanne and Vince, Dolly Parton.
She's awesome, man. Dolly Parton.
Dolly, yeah.
Clint Black. They would just say, no, just let Kevin handle it, you know. And because we were good at playing country music. Even Vince Gill said, like, his first couple of records. Every time I see Vince, he says, man, those first two records. Because Vince, when I first met Vince, he was carrying his own guitar, had a little Fender amp, and says, where do I go, man? You know? And I said, you guys got the song for, you know? And he says, man, because he came on with all his singles on a Tonight Show, and we did all the arrangements for that.
Wow.
And I didn't even remember it, you know? And not for those reasons.
This guy, you don't even have to talk. Just look at me and what is that?
Let
man?
Me tell you, you can consider him a brother in arms.
Yeah, we share a kinship.
Yeah.
So you like country music. So you're just a music fan altogether.
Yeah. I just like music. Yeah. I really don't understand, you know, you're a jazz musician, you're this musician and all that. And you're like,
I have to ask you, though.
Yeah, kind of,
I have
but
to
I ask like you, a lot of different kinds of music.
The band that you had and the people that you worked with, these top musicians.
Mm-hmm.
Did anybody come onto the set of the Tonight Show where you're like, do you believe this clown making a living off music? And you can name names.
No, I can't name names. No. Yeah, I might need a job one day. And you know, like, you know.
How about a rhymes with?
How about Dickleback?
That's really bad, man. That's bad. No, next question. Why are you going to just, like, jump in?
Well, you know, have such a...
Put the joint down. Calm down. It's too early.
Your exposure to all these great, I mean, musicians is impressive.
And then you go, yeah, everybody was great. Now, who sucked?
Well, that's the opposite question you have to ask.
No, there were a few, you know, there were a couple groups.
Who was the most difficult to work with?
I didn't have to work with them. There were some people that came in and just demanded all kinds of stuff.
Oh, yeah.
I'm not going to name names.
you came close. You did.
Close. Yeah. I was getting a contact from over there, and I almost lost my focus. These people get stoned.
Well, speaking of that.
Anyway, somebody wanted to come in and change all the carpet in the dressing room.
There you go.
And they wouldn't come in. Pass it, man. Don't pass it, you know? And, okay. And they wouldn't change the carpet, so the people wouldn't come. They wanted to redo the entire dressing room.
That's ridiculous.
And it's because that color gave them, like, bad luck.
Oh, God.
And it was a singer, of course.
Yeah.
Which is why I don't sing. I don't have that mentality, you know.
Right.
It's not because I suck singing. It's because I could... Carpet's okay with me. But anyway, they wanted to change all the carpet and... Stop! You guys are... All right, maybe I'm ahead of you on that joke. he got it.
Because he's
a loyal guy.
Me and my girlfriend. You know? You mentioned briefly Willie Nelson, and like there's, you know, a legend.
Don't go on his bus.
Right, so
don't go on
a
bus.
Well, I saw this PBS special one time with it was about Willie and Farm Aid, and Dave Matthews was playing Farm Aid, and he got to go on the bus, and he was sitting across from Willie, and Dave's expression sitting in front of Willie was, here's a legend, and I'm in awe of this guy.
Right.
And that was really cool, because Dave obviously is an established musician, done really well for himself, but he's sitting across from Willie.
Yeah, I'd say so. Yeah.
Right. So he's sitting across from Willie Nelson, and he's like, this guy is in such a different league. Did you ever
get awe-inspired by somebody like that? I mean, would you ever be put off by somebody's status?
Yeah, every now and then it would hit me kind of deep like that, yeah.
I'm playing with a legend, that type of thing.
Not just musicians. We can get back to the Willie Nelson bus story later.
Tori Spelling.
That was, Tori, I mean... Stop. That's this guy.
You were
now I know what you do here. Now I know you wait and go.
Ugh. I wait, yeah.
But no, hanging out with Eddie Murphy, hanging out at Eddie's crib is fun. This cat is way into music. I had no idea.
Yeah.
So
and he can sing.
Yeah. But when you talk about things, certain people you hang out with, you know, you hang out with, they're a great comedian, or like hanging out with Bill Cosby, or a musician, or something like that, or Prince. Hanging out at Paisley Park all night and with him and Maceo and stuff like that.
Jeez!
But, and you know, you appreciate, you know, what they do and everything. But some people you talk to about things, and the clarity that they speak about kind of gives you insight to why they who they are, you know?
Yeah.
And you talk about something and they go, well, when this guy did that, the reason it didn't work was because A, B, and C. And they get right in and you go like, oh, man. And this joke won't work because of that, or this won't work because of that. But they really break it down. They know exactly what they're after, and they break it down, and they back it up with all this.
To level of focus.
I mean, yeah. And then you leave there, and you go like, why didn't I think, you know? And it's like,
why didn't I take something?
But really, that thing kind of blows you away, and they all have that in common. You talk to Bill Cosby, if you just hang out with him, and he goes, well, this person's career did that because, or Dennis Rodman didn't do this because of that, and the whole thing. And they break it down so clear. Mm-hmm. They go, what you should do next is this, and this is why. And you go, whoa.
Yeah,
and these are stuff you never thought of, and... Yeah. They're so right about it.
Did anybody like that have an influence on leaving the Tonight Show? Did somebody say something to you or?
No. Okay. We don't want to. You guys kind of sneak up on people, don't you? You
just go like, no, we're not trying to do that. We're really, really excited to have you in the studio, man. Yeah.
Listen, and in fact, I kind of want to put you on the spot just a little bit. I wanted to see if we happen to have a couple of guitars here, and I just wanted to see if we could get just to noodle on it just a little bit. Let me just play, you know, pick around a little bit.
I'll only do this. Who's going to sing blues with me?
Ooh.
Kathy can sing.
No, right, Casey. Yeah. Casey's got it. Casey.
Go ahead, Casey. Come on.
Let her rip, Case. I've been down on the bayou. I've been thinking about where I am.
Steve Morrison.
Thank you. Come on, you guys. Come on. Somebody got to jump in. Right.
You know, Nick,
come on,
Nick.
Start
up the rip, yeah.
Me a girlfriend. She's into hockey. She got confused because of that icing rule. She loved me so. We closer now.
Yeah, and you what?
We closer now.
We closer
you're
now. Closer
I'm,
now.
I'm yeah. Losing it up.
Oh, okay, all right. You threw me off. Okay. I threw me off.
Like you've never done this before.
Sex during your hockey games or what? I mean, we're closer now. Icing rule messed her up.
I know.
Is she out of high school? I swear. You sure?
Yeah, she graduated.
Just a couple weeks ago.
By the way, talking
now
about
you're putting her through college, right? Thank you. You guys have been a blast, man. You know, you guys snuck up on me, but I love that. You know, that's cool. Pass the bong. Clean it out next time. The dirty water is not appreciated.
No, it's bad flavor.
That's all right.
Yeah.
Put wine in it, man. It really, all right. You know, yeah, man. You know, it's old school.
A little bit of a scope.
I heard that. I heard it. Scope.
Yeah, mouthwash makes it mouthful.
Man, what happened to drugs in this country? Jeez. Don't do drugs.
All right. Stay in school.
Exercise. Eat vegetables.
Ladies and gentlemen, Philadelphia's own Kevin Eubanks. Thanks a lot, Kevin.
Later.
Appreciate it. Come by. All right, there you go. We're going to take a break. We'll be back in a minute. Stay there.
.3 WMMR. Everything that rocks.
proudly supports the American Cancer Society Bikeathon.
Hey, it's Marcus. Cancer won't stop, and neither will we. Join myself and Team WMMR on Sunday, August 9th for the 48th annual ACS Bikeathon. This year, we're going virtual. The pedal power to finish the ride against cancer may look different, but the mission remains the same. Each Team WMMR rider gets a free team t-shirt, registration, and complete details at WMMR.com. And check out our custom Team WMMR apparel providers, Bolay and Go Cycling. Team WMMR and the ACS Bikeathon, virtually unstoppable.
The ACS Bikeathon, another way 93.3 WMMR is putting Philly first.
You know what you could do, actually, is if he's available to do this or not, but you could just have Gerard Butler call your boss and yell at them.
Yeah.
And,
he's not coming in tonight!
when you hear that yeah. Spartan
scream
sure thing. Yeah, okay, go to the parade.
He's best known from 300. Let's welcome him on the show. Gerard Butler
is
joining us. How you doing, Gerard?
Jesus!
That was awesome!
Yeah, hold on, Gerard. That was awesome, but I had to dump out of it because he said the S word.
I don't care! I don't care!
That was awesome!
That killed me!
Oh, that's great. How you doing, man?
I'm good, except for that unfortunate incident.
No.
That was perfect.
That just made my day.
Yeah,
man.
No, we're keeping that audio. Yeah,
that is awesome. Now, well, thanks for coming on. We're a little hyped up. We won our baseball team won the World Series the other day, Gerard. So we're a little bit loopy. Everybody's been celebrating like crazy. So, are you a sports fan, Gerard?
Huge baseball fan.
Huge baseball fan.
That's with the bats, isn't it?
that's what it is.
You know that we're about to start a movie in Philadelphia. So my manager said the other night, he said, fly to Philadelphia tonight. We're going to see the World Series. But I didn't make it. So, but congratulations.
Thank you. The town is just absolutely on fire.
Now, obviously, we're gonna talk about Rock and Roller, which is the new film. But what are you going to be filming here in Philadelphia?
I'm doing a movie called Law Abiding Citizen, okay. Which I'm also producing, which is quite hilarious.
Is this your first foray into producing?
Absolutely.
All right, cool.
Hey, we want to have you.
Jamie Foxx is in it as well. So, that's cool. We just signed Jamie. So, myself and Jamie are going to be coming to your fair town very shortly.
Well, when you get into town, you've got to come into the studio. We'll have some haggis for you.
Yeah.
Gerard, we had a guy in here a couple of weeks ago, broke the world record, ate over 3 pounds of haggis.
Are you kidding me?
No, he ate it. Yeah, that was the world record. He was sweating like crazy, but he ate it in what? In 10 minutes?
I think eight minutes.
8 minutes.
8 minutes, yeah.
3 pounds of haggis.
Well, you know what? The Guinness World Records has obviously never paid a visit to Scotland because that kind of stuff happens, I think, on a daily basis in pretty much every household.
I believe it. So the film Rock and Roller, this is a Guy Ritchie film.
Guy Ritchie, he's back doing what he does best, this gangster stuff. We love it.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, that's exactly. You're probably going to ask me what it's about, and I hate answering that question because... If you've seen a Guy Ritchie movie, you know that it pretty much involves about five different stories that are all over the place and intertwining, and it's fast and frenetic and it's funny. I have to say, this movie is funny.
I loved his stuff. You know, I guess he took a little bit of a break there with the Madonna marriage, but now that that's over and he's back, it's great. Did you guys really gel together? I mean, do you have similar sensibilities?
Yeah, I actually was. I hit it off with Guy really quick, and he is the nicest guy. I mean, I expected him to be a little crazy and very violent.
Right.
But he's absolutely the nicest, most gentle guy, and he's a genius. But he just very much sits back and watches it all happen, and then comes in his little quiet. But it must be all that Kabbalah stuff.
The Kabbalah's making him crazy.
Kabbalah's making him gentle.
Oh, gentle. Okay. All right. Yeah. So, as you said, this movie follows the same sort of pattern of the other ones. Multiple stories going on. You're a gangster. What's the focus of your story?
Well, at the beginning of the movie, we're doing a property deal, which goes horribly wrong. We're kind of set up. We think we're going to get planning permission, which we don't. And then, so we end up owing a lot of money to the kind of the old style Tom Wilkinson. And then we end up ripping off this Russian billionaire in order to get our money back. And then thinks it's Tom Wilkinson, of course. And it's one of those things. We're trying to kind of dig away at a hole, like digging ourselves more into a hole, and brings in all these other stories. You know what? It's so much better to watch this.
Now, you know, but there's... Do you dig doing stuff like this with gunplay? And you know, because I read one review of it, and the critic said you're basically filthy throughout the entire movie.
Yeah, pretty much. I seem to be pretty much filthy.
In general, yeah.
I either covered in blood or dirt or... but, you know, we only hold guns for a short part of the movie. I think this is, in some ways, the least violent of his movies. I think it's the most...
Most accessible?
Most stylish. Yeah, exactly. It feels like Guy Ritchie kind of growing up.
Okay.
He's still with a lot of his craziness and weirdness. But it's very funny, and it's... not quite as brutal as the other ones.
Hey, Gerard, I know we only have about another minute left with you, and I can't let you off the hook without asking. There was, you know, a rumor that floated out that you and Jennifer Aniston were, you know, hooked up, and you denied that, obviously. Does that kind of stuff, it's got to be funny to you, I would imagine, right?
Well, I guess that's the only way you kind of, you live with that stuff is just find it funny, because, I mean, literally, I had spoken to Jen for about 7 minutes at the Toronto Film Festival.
And now you're married to her, yeah.
And now I'm married to her. And in fact, we're very probably going to do a movie together, which meant that we had dinner the other night, but with the director of the film. So there was three of us. And I knew, I said, oh, here we go. Now there's three of us having dinner. But they'll manage to completely ignore Andy Tennant, the director. And Aniston and I were having dinner.
Yeah, it's just an intimate dinner, you, her, and about 30 other people.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
We had dinner with the rest of the paparazzi. It was lovely.
Just a quick question also. I love the movie 300, obviously, and we've heard talks of a sequel, a prequel. Is any of that happening?
I don't know. I've heard about as much as you, as much as I want to hear at this stage. I mean, who knows what's going to happen with that? I've got to be honest, I loved it as it was.
Yeah. And leave it as it is.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, it was probably kind of a pain to get into that kind of shape.
That pain? I don't think it's possible for me anyway.
It's over.
If I have to get off my wheelchair to do another workout session.
All right, well, we thank you for taking some time out, Gerard, and Rock and Rolla is in theaters today, so we'll send people out to go see it. So have a good one, man, and good luck, all right?
All right, I'll see you guys in Philadelphia.
Yeah, absolutely.
Please. Come by. This is Gerard Butler. Yeah. Take care, man. We'll see you.
We got to isolate that.
Dude, leave it. Here, let me tell you what he said. We were talking about, you know, peeing yourself is a good excuse to get out of work for the parade. And I go, well, maybe you could just have Gerard Butler, because I don't know what went on the air. I had to dump out and maybe the intro didn't come out. And I said, well, you could just have Gerard Butler call and yell at your boss. And I welcome him on the air. And he goes, yeah, he goes, this is Gerard Butler. Joe can't come in because, and I'm paraphrasing, he crapped his pants.
we have that. Right? We didn't catch it?
No.
There's
no way to get that?
The feed we get is the, you know, that we record.
Damn it.
Sorry.
There's no source that doesn't include the dump, no pun intended.
Wow, that's too bad. All right, well, we didn't know he was going to say
that. That was awesome. Somebody well, you know what? Pants. When he comes to town, we'll have him come in and do it live.
Yeah, we could do that. Hey, I wanted to say thank you very quickly to everyone who had emailed in suggestions on where I should go to find a camp area to go to.
Doodah, doodah.
I ended up taking my kids and my wife to Gettysburg, per suggestion of someone. Yeah, a place called Drummer Boy Campground. And it was absolutely perfect. It is exactly what we were looking for.
Let me ask you, the main focus, the thing that you kept requiring of any of these, that you could set a fire outside.
Yep, we had a fire ring out there. We toasted that baby up every night. Cool. And it was great. It was a perfect campground. It was you know, we were out in the woods, and nice. And I loved it. We you know, we rented a cabin. We did it up nice. It wasn't roughing
you
it by,
ridiculous.
By any stretch of the imagination. In a few years, I'll take them out camping.
You think so? Okay. You know,
for sure. I'd love to do that, but they're too young for that right
How
now.
How far is Gettysburg away? How long did it take you to get there?
About 2.5-3 hours.
Oh, so, really? It's that far?
Yeah. Yeah. Wow. It's a good ride. It's nice. It's south of Harrisburg, so you head out that way, and then you go south for about a half hour.
Any lakes, rivers, anything like that?
Small pond, fishing pond. They had a pool and a pond.
Pond would be good.
But they had a pond and a couple of swimming pools with the giant water slide and stuff like that. So there were some things that were you know, woodsy aspect right. and other things that were kind of commercial about it. So it was just right.
Can I just say, I was up in the Poconos and I went for a hike, and this is my kind of hike. We actually drove. That was our hike.
What, were you taped to the outside of the car?
We passed by Hickory Run State Park, and then I was like, oh, let's, you know, drive through. They had this boulder field.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, yeah. So
where they grow the boulders?
It's like 20,000 years old.
Fresh.
They just ended up there.
Oh, this boulder's ready to go.
They ended up there through like a glacier melting and all that. It's the size of a big lake, but it's all boulders.
And you drive to the where you can hike on it.
Yeah, yeah. And essentially that's we and it's just one lane
so
roads.
What did you just drive there and not to the hike part?
You drove to the boulder field, and
then you get out of your car, you rent another car to drive over to your first boulder.
No, but I walked. I probably walked about 20 yards into the boulder field, and it gets kind of scary. And there was this lady.
Oh, boulders could leap right out at you.
Well, no, it gets kind of scary because. You have to walk on rocks, and it wasn't that scary.
And you're
for me.
Afraid because you're stepping on the smaller rocks, you're hurting their babies.
Well, not all the rocks are very stable. So there was this lady out there. She must have been in her 40s. She, I guess,
old Boldy
had gone out too far and then freaked herself out and then started crawling back in across these boulders
because
she was afraid that she was going to fall. So I'm, you know, I go out and I help her, and she had the worst body odor ever. I'm holding
Did
her
you just
hand.
Push her?
Like, I wanted to say to her that she had bad body odor, but no, but she was like, I felt so
that
bad. I
calmed her down real good, Case.
I felt so, she was crawling.
I'm usually not this way, but you carry the stench of death.
Aw, the poor thing is probably so scared. She was sweating like
secreting.
A pig.
Yeah.
It was like a sweating hippo.
It was so funny, though. I mean, like, because I, you know, here she, you know, people were just like running on the boulders while she's crawling. Like, I don't
Let me
fall.
Get this straight. This is a collection of boulders that you go to see?
It's the size of a lake, Steve. I'm
this boulder's the size of a lake?
No. All the boulders. It sounds ridiculous, but when you actually look at it and see it, like, you know, see it.
You gotta understand, when you actually see the boulders, and they're awesome lake size.
It sounds ridiculous. I know what you're talking
about.
Yeah,
it's pretty mind-boggling. It's kind of cool.
But it's a flat field, though. Which
yeah. It's a flat field with boulders in it.
It's like several football fields long.
You cannot
and wide.
Imagine how lame that sounds.
It's in the middle of the woods. It is pretty cool. I've been there too. But it, like you're crawling back towards the parking lot, Casey. Sounds pretty. I mean, you're not like going downhill or anything.
No, but the lady was so freaked out because there was all this up dog around it. So she was like freaking out about
what's
that.
Up dog.
Not much, man.
Sub dog. Sub dog.
That's good. Did you set that up? What did you think of that?
No, I didn't even. I saw it on The Office the other day. I was like, that's hilarious. I'm going to use
my
that.
God.
That's an old one.
Did they have a dick for there?
What's a dick for there?
To pee with.
How much is a Grecian herring?
Let me go to Kyle. Hold on. Hey, Kyle, good morning.
Hey, what's up? You guys rock. I just want to tell you about there's this. I don't know if you've ever been to Hawk Mountain.
Hey, I went there 2 weeks ago.
Yeah, that's the poor man's boulder field.
It's up by Cabela's, Preston. It's north of Cabela's, yeah.
All right.
Yeah. And up there, they have this trail. It's called the River of Rocks Trail. And it's just basically, it looks just like a river, but it's filled with big white boulders.
Is that on the Appalachian Trail?
It's close to it, I think, yeah.
Is there any place in this trail where they actually have water that's supposed to be water?
No.
Or is everything just boulders and rocks?
No, they have rivers too, but it's like specifically called that because it's just this, it just, when like if you're up on the mountain, it just looks this white river of just big white rocks. It's really cool.
All right. I guess I'd have to see it.
You do.
I'd rather see the hawks than the boulders. There we go.
Hang on, let me
boulders
go
do a lot less flying.
Let me go to Dave. Hey, Dave.
Yeah.
Hey, what's up, Dave?
Hey, what's going on?
Not much. You're on. Go ahead.
I just want to say about Boulder Field up in the Poconos.
Yeah.
It's, like, super long, and once a year, me and my family would go trek all the way across the whole thing.
And is that part of your suicide pact?
there's, like, trees carved with names, like, every single tree has, like,
35 names carved into it of people who have made
people
all
people killed drugs. Themselves.
You know what? That's actually
taking the drive to Boulder Field.
That's something that did bother me about the Boulder Field was that, that people had spray painted their names on the rocks.
That,
it's,
and, yeah, that's why Pebble Patch is so much better.
You can't write as much.
I know. It's tinier. Pebble Patch, Boulder Field.
But you're walking out
the
there,
river of rocks.
And your equilibrium starts to mess with you a little bit. So
why?
Because it's...
But you know what? Just go dive into gravel pond and cool off.
Hang on, let me go to Derek. Hey, Derek. What's up, Mr. D?
Hey, Western Pennsylvania, there is a Boulder Field that some of the rocks, if you hit them with a hammer, they actually ring, like they sound like steel.
Really?
Yes.
And
I
this...
I had to go out and see it myself. I forget the name of the town, but it's... Field up the Poconos, and you'll see rocks that have marks.
Ah, he just hit a boulder.
Is this the same boulder field that Casey's talking about?
No, this is a different one. It's further west. It's on the west side of PA, kind of almost on the border of Ohio.
I can't imagine what just a field full of boulders.
I took a picture of it.
I'd love to see it.
I have a picture of that, and I was actually feeding deer with pretzels, so I have pictures of that, too.
Really?
Deer eat pretzels?
Yeah. It's so funny to hear deer crunching on pretzels. It's like...
I have an album. Cracks me up. It's a party album. We put it on.
But I laughed out loud. If
we can't find the George Carlin, we get the deer eating presses. What the hell are you talking about?
Well, I was...
What
is this?
Oh, it's a deer eating pretzels.
I love this. Craig,
you can almost hear the mustard.
No, hard pretzels.
Oh, so Dutch pretzels.
Yeah,
well, that's funny. I thought you were just talking soft pretzels. That has no comic
that's ludicrous.
Content. But with hard apples. Dutch pretzels, you get a real crunch.
Well, I was feeding the deer apples, and then I ran out of apples. So we had pretzels. And they literally, this is in the backyard of the mountain house. And
did you sense that the deer wanted to kill itself because it was in Boulder Field?
No. This is away from Boulder Field at the house. But I actually had deer eating pretzels out of my hand. It was so funny.
There was not enough food in the forest?
No.
By the way, can you burn a copy of that for me, Steve?
Sure.
That's great.
I could
you get on
hours.
iTunes. Deer eating pretzels. Double live.
Budokan, man.
Oh, my Steve, God. Here's a picture of Boulder Field or Boulder Place.
Oh,
you gotta friggin' be kidding me.
Does it look interesting?
No. It looks like a field full of boulders.
Wait, I'm stuck.
Now, is the mystery, like, how they got there?
No, the mystery is why you got there.
Is that the case?
See, no, it's from glaciers melting and...
See, now, looking at that, I was thinking, when you say boulders, I think boulders are like the size of cars.
Yeah.
The boulders are...
Some are.
That's big friggin' rocks.
Those are big rocks.
So, wait, Casey,
well,
the woman...
called Boulder Field, so...
Right.
The woman was crawling across this?
She's crawling. I guess...
I thought there was, like, a cliff you could fall off
That's
of.
What I'm saying. No. It's flat, too. I mean, there's no elevation at all. It's a flat field with rocks.
Why would an idiot like that drive to Boulder Field?
Yeah. And then, see, the thing is, I guess she walked out, like, halfway and was like, crap, how do I get back? Because she was, like, freaking out. Like, and I get, like, her...
You know what's really cool? If you go to, I forget where it is. I've been there, but it looks like the lunar landscape. I think it's in Utah, or it's a,
There's a,
Do you know what I'm talking about? It's
a national park or a state
park. It's a national park, yeah. And the terrain looks like lunar terrain.
But it's called something like that.
Right.
It's like Lunar Park.
I can't believe it's not the moon.
it literally has a name like that. Moon State Park.
Yeah, and there's a sign there. Next, Boulder Field, 3,000 miles.
Hang on, we have the deer eating pretzels audio.
Oh, just a quick snippet. This is awesome. Listen.
Wow.
That's good. Awesome. You got to hear the full thing, though, because you hear the people go, woo!
And after a while, that becomes
do
part of the song.
Do you like to eat pretzels like I do? I want to thank you for giving me pretzels. It's an awesome double live, and the deer's there. The hair is, you know, lit up
got
purple.
Like a halo and
on the cover. The deer comes alive.
Thank you.
Got some big Dutch ones tonight. Crunch. 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 Crunch.
Crunch. Hang on, let me go to Let me go to Eric. Hey, Eric, good morning.
Hey, good morning. You guys rock.
Thank you. What's going on, Eric?
Hey, I got a place up here in Upper Bucks County. It's called something black. Yeah, it's called Ringin' Rock. It's a big rock field out in the middle of the woods.
I'm troubled by the substantial rock and boulder motif that seems to be going on. What is Ringin' Rock have going for it?
You go there, you take a hammer, and you bang on them, and they sound like steel. I think this guy was talking about them earlier.
You know what? Rather than do that, I would go out to the parking lot and slam my own head with a hammer.
I heard that one.
It's awesome. Yeah, that's the... actually, perpetual eating deer produces that.
Hang on, let me go to Steve. Hey, Steve.
Hey, you guys are awesome.
Thank you, Steve. What's going on, man?
Hey, real quick, I just want to let you know, I've been to this boulder field that Casey's talking about.
Does it suck?
Well, no. If you actually take a glass of water and you're able to walk to the other side, there's a knife on the other side that you can kill demons with.
It's the Golden Child. You ever saw that with Eddie Murphy? Right. Without spilling any.
We've had references to Ghost and Golden Child.
But if you step on the wrong rock, it's a problem.
It collapses, yeah.
Right.
Yeah,
you got a little bald Asian kid to take home with you.
Let me go to... Hang on. Now, this sounds kind of weird. Let me go to John. Hey, John, good morning. John, are you there?
He chose the wrong boulder.
John was saying that on Blue Mountain, there's an algae that glows blue.
Oh, that's sort of cool.
Is that for real? I've never heard of
that. I'll tell you what.
Algae Mountain?
No. On Blue Mountain.
Oh.
There's a
where the algae grows.
If this...
There's street signs that show deer eating with a huge pretzel next 5 kilometers. What an algae. Crank it up.
Let me go to
Woodland Creature Rock.
Let me go crank it up. Let me go to Scott. Hey, Scott.
Hey, you guys rock. Yeah.
Thanks, man. What's up, Scott?
I just shot hot, steaming hot coffee through my nose at that whole deer-eating pretzel bit. I'm loving it. It's great.
Thank you.
Thank you, man. We appreciate it. We got to get Greg Monahan started on an album cover of
Bambi Comes Alive. Deer Comes Alive.
Let me see. Let me go to Pat again real quick. Hey, Pat.
Hey, how you doing?
Great. What's up, Pat?
One thing that really freaks me out about Boulder Field, it's really awesome looking, but there is a lot of snakes in there.
No, you inadvertently drove to Snake Field.
No. And if you go there on really warm days, they're all, like, sunning themselves on the rug.
Well, I would imagine, because they would go down. But, I mean, what is the largest snake in this area? Is it the...
Well, we have the one that got into the car, right?
Do we have copperheads?
Yeah,
copperheads.
Yeah,
I don't know. We've talked about it occasionally. There are certain rattlers that you can find.
There may be a downside to going to Boulder Field, is what you're saying.
Yeah,
there may be. I'm not sure.
It might not be the fun and frivolity we've been led to believe.
But the music.
Awesome.
Nice.
And deer comes out, and then from the sky, like the druid, you know, the Stonehenge, big boxes of Dutch pretzels.
I gotta get this album, man.
Who is my? Where is my? Who ate my pretzels?
Hang on, let me go to Carl. Hey, Carl.
Hey, good morning. You guys rock.
Thank you. What's up, Carl?
Yeah, Boulder Field. I've been going up there for about 35 years now, and actually, it's about 4 feet deep.
Didn't you get enough of it the first time?
Yeah, and for 35 years you've been going up. Isn't it time to end it all? Yeah. What happens at Boulder Field?
Family vacation spot. Yeah. It's about 4 foot deep with boulders. I took my wife up there for our honeymoon. We walked all the way across.
You took your wife to Boulder Field for your honeymoon?
Well, we're up in a Poconos for our honeymoon.
So what do you have the vets a date, or you take her up and tie her to a tether?
I'll tell you what,
we went out in the woods.
There was a group of like teenage kids that were like hanging in the middle of the Boulder Field.
Little ruffians.
Well, I'm sure that teenagers will go there and drink.
Of course.
Or smoke
remember when a kid how much you wanted to be on boulders?
Yeah. But I'll tell you what, if this radio station were located in the Poconos, we would have our promotional shots taken at Boulder Lake. It's that type of place. It's like the brick wall, you know?
For like headshots and
Well, dare
and
to dream.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There you go.
Wait, I love this part.
good.
It's my favorite.
Oh, man.
Here, Polarize says, I laugh so hard at the deer eating pretzels comes alive bit that I peed a little in my pants and choked on a banana. Ragman the Third says, but the real question is, can the deer cover any other bands? Can the deer do MC Corky? I doubt it.
No. It's you ask too much of nature.
Deer's eating tacos, maybe.
All right. Well, so you, so Boulderfield, will you go back to Boulderfield sometime, or did you get your fill of that?
No, I'll definitely go back.
I don't think you ever get Boulderfield out of your system.
No.
It's not a hard hike for Casey. You just drive right up to it.
Then he rents a car, then Fang Wu, the boy, carries him on his shoulders.
We're gonna have to.
You like Boulder, sir? I can't pick you Boulder. I carry you out to Boulder.
We're gonna have to do all these places. We're gonna have to do that. We're gonna have to go to
tonight to see you at the deer concert.
We're gonna have to go to Centralia and see the burning city, and we've got to go to like Bushkill Falls and all these places. We're gonna have to do a tour.
Yes,
at some point or another.
Boulder Field is definitely one.
Crystal Cave will be on the list as well.
Hawk Mountain, Plankton
Hawk
Mountain.
I forgot about that. All right, well,
Manatee Cove.
Glad you had a good time. We've got to take a break, so we'll be back in just a second. Stay where you are.
Love MMR? Buy some gear. Check out the Rock Shop at WMMR.com. Snazzy.
Say goodbye to juggling paper coupons and missing out on the best deals. Download the Acme mobile app today to have your own personal grocery guru right in your pocket. Use it to plan your shopping list like a pro. Get personalized deals on the products you buy most and choose your shopping style. Whether it's in-store, delivery, or drive-up, where an experienced Acme associate will carefully select, bag your order, even pick up your prescriptions from the pharmacy, and bring it all right to your car. Acme. Fresh foods, local flavors.
Back with more of the Preston and Steve Show podcast.
Now, Bizarre. WMMR presents Bizarre. Preston and Steve's Bizarre File.
I have the wrong paperclip.
Oh, my God. Oh,
come on, man. Red paperclips.
No, it's black.
Purple. Black is your second Bizarre File paperclip?
Black is just my Bizarre File.
Oh, okay.
And I use it for both Bizarre Files. See, it's very thick.
It is.
Thick and black.
Thick and black.
Thick and black. You can put it in your mouth and under your chin and your hand.
Oh, yeah. All right, so...
I consider that a personal achievement if Nick laughs at his own drop. Thank you.
I have a follow-up story. Officials in the Philippines hoping to be entered into the Guinness World Records for conducting a mass circumcision party for more than 1,500 boys will most likely have their application rejected.
Aww.
Guinness issued a statement saying Guinness World Records does not recognize a number of medical procedures within a set period of time or in a mass group due to hygiene considerations and risks.
However, though, they did have the thing about the body piercing.
Medical procedures, I guess it's not considered a medical procedure.
Okay, all right.
Should be undertaken only on the advice of a doctor, and the patient's welfare should always be the primary concern. Public health officials in the city of Marikina said that the organized party is a safe alternative to surgery, which is often performed by non-doctors. So they are not going to get that.
There's something wildly bizarre about all of that.
A 12-year-old schoolboy, this is somewhere in England, I'm not sure exactly what part of it, but attended lessons dressed in a skirt to protest against discriminatory rules which ban boys from wearing shorts. Chris Whitehead
issued of my protest.
Wore the girl's knee-length skirt to classes at Impington Village College.
Here at Impington, we do not wear skirts unless they are fine young ladies. You may turn home right now. I swear to God, I will whack your bottom if you do not.
The schoolboy is protesting against school uniform policy, which bans boys from wearing shorts during the summer months. He also addressed...
That's not an abomination to see you, a young lad, dressed as a female. It's ridiculous.
He's making a good point, though, Scott.
He also addressed 1,300 pupils at morning assembly wearing the black skirt, which boys are permitted to wear due to a loophole in the policy.
This is Principal Wellington. You see a young lad, this is a boy, send him home because it's really inappropriate. By the way, today is Pizza Day.
Chris believes that forcing boys to wear...
£4. I don't know.
Chris believes that forcing boys to wear long trousers during the sizzling summer months affects concentration and their ability to learn.
I wonder how well those schools, which are probably pretty old, are air-conditioned.
He said in the summer...
That's a good question, but I shall endeavor to answer it. In an email, I will take time away from this lovely and engaging bizarre file.
He said in the summer, girl students are allowed to wear skirts, but boys aren't allowed to wear shorts.
The little cross-dresser makes a point.
And so that's what he's doing to protest that.
How about a kilt?
Yeah, exactly.
Wear a kilt.
Exactly. And then we only have time for one more. I apologize, but we've been going long all day.
I have to take some of the blame for that. I'm sorry, President.
All right. And an 82-year-old former Nepalese foreign minister has died in his attempt to become the oldest person to climb Mount Everest.
You'd figure living in Nepal, you'd kind of be good at that. Know what I'm saying?
Shailendra Kumar Upadhyaya.
Shailendra.
Died Monday afternoon, hours after arriving upon at Camp 1 in his record attempt. The cause of death was not yet known. Upadhyaya said that he...
hey, goodbye.
Had said...
Upadhyaya.
Had said that he wanted to raise awareness.
Hey, goodbye.
Upadhyaya. There's two yas there.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Upadhyaya said that he wanted to raise awareness about the capabilities of elderly people by scaling the world's highest peak.
Well, that was a miserable failure.
Yeah, which has claimed the lives of hundreds of mountaineers.
Just got even better.
If
his scooter could make it up.
If he had succeeded, right now, Upadhyaya would have become the oldest person to reach the top of Everest.
The Nepalese that's what they do.
Yeah, beating current record holder Min Budar Ubaduba.
Any of these names really matter? Yes. Couldn't you just make up whatever you want?
Who scaled the mountain at the age of 76 3 years ago. Around 3,000 people have climbed Mount Everest since Edmund Hillary and Tenzing Norgay.
I would love to see...
Became the first people to conquer it.
I don't want to climb it, but I would love to actually just see it there in person.
Just take a helicopter.
With Ubaduba.
With Ubaduba. And there you go. That is an Ugadayaya. That is Ugadayaya. And that is the bizarre file. We got to take a break. We will be back in just a moment. Stay there.
What's new? Glad you asked. The Black Keys. The Pretty Reckless.
Tombstone when I go, just put death by rock and roll.
Five Finger Death Punch.
New music, more of everything that rocks.
On 93.3 WMMR.
The trash business is a gold mine.
93.3 WMMR with Preston and Steve's Hollywood Trash.
And it's brought to you by Dietz & Watson. Your local Dietz & Watson Real Philly Delis are open for takeout. Taste four generations of family recipes made with love and show your support for local business. RealPhillyDeli.com, Dietz & Watson, it's a family thing since 1939.
What's up, Steve?
Well, Paul McCartney may have set a world record in less than a minute when his Las Vegas concert at the Hard Rock Hotel sold out in just 7 seconds.
What?
To put this into perspective, Ringo is still selling tickets to his concert at Madison Square Garden in 1983. Anne Heche's acrimonious two-year divorce battle with Coley LaFoon came to an end yesterday, with LaFoon getting $3,700 a month in child support and split custody with their son, Homer. An exhausted Heche left the court telling reporters, quote, "All of this crap is enough to make me want to go back to the vagina." She used to be a lesbian.
Yeah, she did.
And finally, even after receiving thousands of requests to remove Chris Brown from the nominee list, Nickelodeon is standing strong behind the singer, maintaining his place in the Kids' Choice Awards. Nickelodeon says they will make a concession to those worried about sending the wrong message. Instead of sliming Brown with the usual green goo, he will be showered in arrest warrants for domestic battery.
Oh,
that's your Hollywood trash.
All right, thank you, Steve. There's a piece of audio that we didn't get a chance to get to yesterday, and this is from one of the housewives,
Real Housewives of Atlanta.
Of Atlanta?
And all of these, you like the word bimbo.
Yes.
All these bimbos are releasing singles. Because who knew how talented these spoiled housewives were? And listen.
This is Kim.
This is Kim. And you're
this is another one.
You're going to hear her singing, laying down the vocal tracks for what is referred to as her next single. Okay. So we must only assume that it's already other crap that's been unleashed on the public.
All right, here. I haven't heard this yet, so here we go.
Just doing your thing.
It's choppy. Okay, I got it.
The rain didn't
mean a thing. Whoa, 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 whoa. The ring didn't mean a thing. The ring didn't mean a thing to you. I see you're out there.
She's out of key with herself.
What
yeah.
the hell is she
she's
doing?
She's off key with herself.
I know. She's singing. She's hearing the musical track in her head, I guess the B track, in her headphones. And what you're hearing is that without the music.
When I sing in the car or whatever to my iPod, that's what I imagine myself to sing like. That's
probably.
Why I would not like to do it ever in front of people. But that's yeah. got to be
doing
what it's like.
Doing your thing. Awesome. That's hard for me to jump.
Here we go. One more time.
One more
the
time.
Ring didn't mean a thing to oh you. I see you're out there still doing your thing.
Oh, God.
Still doing. Still doing your thing.
Kathy, wow. you're absolutely right. And every now and then, like, the radio will cut out and you'll just, it'll just yeah. be you in the car. And you're like, oh, God, I don't sound like Eddie Vedder at all.
Well, for a few seconds, you're like, wait, I'm doing pretty good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then because you don't realize how much percentage is Vedder to Nick. And,
right.
and then well, and when that drops out, it's like, dear God.
You sound so much better when the radio is like really, really loud.
Yeah. Yeah.
yeah. I'm right in tune.
But they'll like auto tune that and make her sound
oh, yeah.
something
normal.
Yeah, they'll fix it
oh,
up.
Palatable.
God.
Yeah, I'm sure. All right. Well, anyway. Anyway,
and they
horrible.
Get some ninth level hip hop artist who's just he sucks up the money. Sure, yep. Yeah, man, yep. it's gonna be great.
Exactly.
Rain didn't mean a thing.
Wow. All right. Well, thank God I don't watch that show.
I wanna work with a producer. I just wanna do one song. For
I
real.
Bet you could. You could do if somebody.
But you have a
good you,
voice.
You got a decent voice.
Yeah, but you know.
You could better.
Yeah, yeah, no. No, exactly.
Right.
Right.
We
have like a producer.
You know what?
Yeah.
Work with Suge Knight.
Yeah.
I think that'd be good.
No, it's called like, you know, some guys that we know, you know, like from the Hooters or something like that, legitimately have access to a decent studio. And actually, Rob produces stuff. I mean, and so does Eric, right?
Yeah.
So.
What if Eric Bazillion wrote you the next What If God Was One of Us?
Yeah, man.
Dude, part two.
Be, could be you.
Electric Boogaloo.
What if Jesus was my buddy?
Or going gambling with Jesus.
Hit. Going gambling with Jesus.
Oh, written by that. Eric Bazillion, sung by Casey.
Yeah.
It could be underway for all we know now. They're already we've
and Jesus gets kicked out for counting cards.
Yeah. I want Preston on drums, though.
I'll do it.
All right, cool.
I'll lay down a fat track for you, man. The old meat behind the beat.
Me on flutophone?
Yeah.
All right. Awesome.
All right. Can you play that?
I can learn.
Can you play the trumpet with your mouth?
Yeah.
You guys are so good.
Want the flight of the bumblebee?
Yeah.
That's my Maynard Ferguson.
That's a hit. That is impressive.
It actually is.
I think of all the money I saved on.
People would buy that.
Purchasing instruments. Steve at Red Rocks.
Wow.
Thank you. Thank you. It'd be kind of like... don't worry, be happy.
Bobby McFerrin.
Bobby McFerrin, yeah.
Yeah, just using your voice.
I almost said Bobby McFlay.
Not only can he sing a cappella, he makes a hell of a hamburger.
McFlay.
And he went back to the future.
Marty McFlay. Dear God, how did
he's a acapella musician, a chef, and he travels through time.
Well, I saw this story. It wasn't fitting to put it in the entertainment stuff that we do in the morning, but because this guy wasn't an entertainer, but it's a noteworthy death because this guy wrote a line that we all know. A guy named Theodore Sorensen was a speechwriter and top aide to President John F. Kennedy. He died.
Yep.
He's the guy that wrote "Ask Not What Your Country Can Do for You."
Right.
Which is, you know, one of the great speeches. And he had passed away. He was 82 years old.
That's wild. So he was the presidential speechwriter for Kennedy for a number of years?
Says some of Kennedy's most memorable speeches were created through close collaboration between him and Sorensen. Most famous of these was Kennedy's inaugural address in which he told Americans, ask not what you can do for your country.
Ask not what your country can do for you.
Yes.
Ask what you can do for your country.
That's the one. There's also been long talk that
look down there, that chick's got a penis.
That's one of her second.
You can see a lot from up there.
Lesser known, yeah.
Wow. I didn't know that one.
That was when he was still finding his speech writing legs.
Ah, yeah. I guess so. He wasn't quite there yet.
I'm a little disappointed to know that
JFK didn't actually write that himself.
Dude, they never...
I know.
JFK,
I know.
You know, though, some did. Some, sure. Some wrote a lot. Reagan wrote would write a number of his speeches or co-write them.
Yeah.
When you're president, you
don't...
Is
that why he was always talking about the Yumbo?
You don't, I like that sandwich. That's a mother effer of a sandwich. No, the what they do is they work with their speech writers and want to, and Kennedy certainly could write. He wrote Profiles in Courage, right. You know, so he could write, but they look for a happy medium where the writer can write in the president's voice. Yeah.
Right,
and impart
exactly.
the spirit of the president.
They don't just hand it to him and say, hey, here you go.
Here you go.
I can't, I lost my place. Hey, what is this? Hey, with ask not. Which, okay, ask not. That would tend to what your country ask your country. Yeah, you can't ask your country. Well, the country, I guess if we all answered it once, what did you write here, jerk off?
Oh, you should have rehearsed.
Oh, yeah. God.
I can't read this as cold. I told you that.
We'll do it live.
Yeah. We'll do it live. Don't read it and we'll do it live. What does it mean? Play me out. Play what out?
Sting plays us out.
Sting? Who's Sting? He won't be born for another 20 years.
By the way, Steven says there's also long been a talk that Sorensen was the real writer of Profiles in Courage.
Yeah, there was...
But it's an allegation that he himself denied and the Kennedys denied as well. But
the long-standing belief is that... Yes, he co-wrote it.
Guided, yeah.
And it was, you know, Profiles in Courage is Kennedy's recounting of also like the PT-109 and all that stuff. So,
additionally, Sorensen was also a top advisor to Kennedy and played a central role during the Cuban Missile Crisis. So I thought it was a noteworthy. I mean, he wrote an iconic line.
Used constantly. You know, you look at some of those old speeches and you look at some of the politicians, the speeches were so inspiring. And you listen to people like Winston Churchill speak.
Sure.
And what they were able to do and their command of the language. It was just, we don't have that anymore.
Not that much.
We don't have that anymore. I mean, certainly President Obama can deliver a good speech.
Yeah.
But to the soaring levels of what these guys used to do.
Right.
You know, it just doesn't happen.
Did you know that top Wimbledon officials want the female players to stop yelling as much as they do?
Really?
They said the loud grunting that more and more players have been coached to do as they...
Hey!
Coached to do?
Yeah, hell of a match.
I think that's a match.
Casey.
Hey!
A couple matches going on.
Yeah, they coach them to do that, Case. It's part of being, I guess, using all of their strength.
Why not men, too?
I watch a fair amount of tennis. Men tend to grunt more than yell.
And they usually do it with the serve, I think, is when they really grunt. But, well, that's what they're saying, that the women will grunt too loudly. And it says that they hit their shots. It's annoying both fans and opponents. Ian Ritchie, head of all of the All England Lawn and Tennis Club, told the Daily Telegraph, "We have made our views clear, and we would like to see less of it."
No ifs, ands, or buts concerning this issue of the women bellowing and disturbing this fine and hallowed sport.
What was that?
I hate when that person comes out.
I love when that person comes out.
Oh, excuse me, I will return to my fish and chips, which are quite delicious.
Now they eat strawberries and cream. Isn't that what they do in Wimbledon?
Yeah, I believe so. Yeah,
how quiet are their matches?
Pretty quiet. They all wear slippers.
No, is it quiet there?
Who, the audience or the people?
They are
encouraged. It's supposed to be. Yeah, it's not the same with like the U.S. matches, but yes, there is definitely a higher degree of attention paid to protocol and
so it's very quiet. So these grunts and screaming, everybody can clearly hear it.
Yeah,
that's like all over.
Hey! That's what you hear. I mean, you hear the ball being hit, and then you hear the grunting. And then occasionally you hear like an, from the crowd, you know.
Holy Lord! How did you see that? The way her bosom's racked against the interior of her dress. Oh, look at that! Oh, my God!
Who's this?
Michelle DeBrito? DeBrito?
She goes,
Is it as much for the fact that it disrupts the... at least the quiet nature of the sport as it is. It's also being used as a distraction.
Maybe.
As a tactical maneuver to throw off the opponent.
You ought to be able to do that. I know that they say that it disturbs like adjoined tennis courts.
Yeah.
Those are all in a complex.
Right.
And the other matches that are going on, they hear that noise as well. They said that we have made our views clear. We would like to see less of it.
We want less of it, I said. We will not stand for this bellowing, cacophonous, ridiculous amount of sounds emanating from this house.
God, it's so gross.
It says one of the...
And I personally have a number of... Good standing around you for over 35 years. And this river says, I've seen them coming out.
Oh, God, dude. Do you have to end it that way?
I know, right?
It's something I've sort of fallen in love with that now.
I know, I am too. They said one of the worst offenders.
It's one of the worst offenders, clearly. It's this one chick who just screams like a banshee and disrupts everything. I can hardly finish my reason.
One of the worst offenders is 21-year-old Victoria Azarenka of Belarus. Who not only grunts very loudly shut up.
But also defecates. Defecates.
She defecates?
She evacuates her bowels as she runs back and forth across the most legendary in court. Disgusting!
Apparently when she makes shots, she also makes the sound last for a long time. Often, even until her opponent makes the return shot.
Well, that's a little excessive.
Woo!
Yeah, well, that's kind of like the Ric Flair of...
Wow.
Marches.
Yeah.
In fact, I can understand the way you have, like in karate, you have that.
Well, people, they call it a kiop.
Yeah, yeah.
Which
is like the place where you get those hair extensions in the mall.
No, that's a kiosk.
Oh, I'm sorry.
That's called a kiosk.
Steve, I went to a... For a short time, I'd taken some Taekwondo classes, and I went to a tournament, and there was a guy, you know, either it's like a ha or a hya or whatever, but this guy said Baho.
Baho!
Wow.
No, it was like this. It was Baho! Baho! Like every time he'd throw a kick.
Nuts.
Where was that at? The All Valley Karate Tournament?
No. That was in California.
Oh. It's Tiger Jerry Lewis.
No, but it was Baho.
Kafaiden!
But you're supposed to use whatever sound feels natural to you when you're striking.
To get that additional oomph and that additional...
Yeah. I yell. You've seen me. Yeah. I do.
You're like...
When I
was boxing a lot, it's a natural thing.
Yeah.
That's excessive.
Yeah, that doesn't seem so natural. Either does Bahu. Casey, who's your not ready chick again?
Oh, Monica Seles.
Yeah.
Not ready!
Yeah. Yeah, she does sound like that.
This is that Victoria chick.
This is the girl they were talking about?
Yeah.
All right, here we go.
It's Ric Flair.
Yeah.
Woo!
Huh. Okay. All right, hang on. Dan.
What the hell is that? Ridiculous sounds
of wrestling.
You're right there.
This heat is a little heavy for me today.
They all get all dressed up and they're resplendent and they're fine going to see tennis clothing and it's a bunch of crap.
All right, hang on. Let me go to Dan, who is a tennis player. Dan, how you doing?
Hey, Wolfman's got nards.
Got nards?
He does. What's up, man?
Yeah, I just wanted to say it's called exploding out. It's kind of like when you're you were saying with karate and lifting weights.
Casey did that to a Greek the other day.
No, I did that to a Greek in high school.
All right, go ahead, Dan.
Like a coach will tell you to put more of your body into it, and by grunting or exerting your force, you're going to be yelling, and that's totally. It actually helps your game. So I want to say how the tennis world goes about that by trying to get rid of it.
Well, I tell you what, for years ago when I would go see the matches at Forest Hills.
Yeah.
This was the time of...
Is that where the U.S. Open is?
Yeah.
Okay.
Flushing Meadows.
Flushing Meadows. And you would... It was Chris Everett, and it was Billie Jean King, and you would hear a grunt here and there, but you would not hear stuff like this.
Yeah. I just watched, HBO had a really cool documentary. It was Bjorn Borg versus
John McEnroe.
It was really, really well done. And as I was watching it, I was like, God, I wish I kind of cared about tennis a little bit, but there's just nobody. I mean, is it Federer versus Nadal? Well, like they're not really likable.
It's a little more spread out, but it used to be a lot more focused. I love the sport, and I'll play it periodic. I used to play it all the time.
Yeah,
but it's definitely changed, and especially because at that time you would be ejected if you made a lot of noise or if you were chatting. It was pretty whisper quiet.
There aren't a lot of American men who do very well, and that makes it less interesting. Andy Roddick is probably the best. John Goodman is out there all the time. But there are some really good American women. And the Williams
Danny
sisters.
Danny DeVito.
His legs move real fast.
I see what you're saying, Nick.
You know, you're right. I guess that's what it is. There aren't any Americans, so like, why do I even care?
I got an angle on this, and we hadn't thought about it. Maybe it's because there's not enough American men who are no.
Going back to the noise thing for a moment, I know we played the Mac Daddy clip the other day, but the past couple of months, I've been doing some weight workouts, some weight training, right. And I do it in my house. I have dumbbells, and I will find myself when trying to squeak out that the last rep or two.
Oh, you're that guy.
I'm either going to give up or I'm going to try and push through it. And while doing it, for God's sake, I can't help it, but it comes out, yeah!
MacGruber.
Like that. And my wife is upstairs going, are you okay? But thank God I'm not doing it with a bar across
the
room.
Well, I have. Done that. Done super, the excessive, and when I was powerlifting and all that stuff, the amount of, but it's worse. I've worked out at old style iron clanking gyms where in the back they're selling steroids and all that crap.
Yeah.
And it is not uncommon to see dudes throw up and crap themselves at these hardcore places. It's a lot like your library.
Oh, yeah. No, you're supposed to breathe out whenever, like if I'm doing bench presses or whatever. Yeah. And I've done this on several occasions. As I'm breathing out, I literally spit. And I watch the spit go about 3 or 4 feet in the air. And then it comes right down on my face. Yeah.
Well, anyway, they're calling for that somehow, and I don't think
it's going to be hard.
I don't know how they could stop the yelling at tennis matches.
Well, they've been trained; it's integrated into what they do.
One more quick thing that I saw, just incidental wise, that I thought was kind of interesting. A study just came out, and it's no big surprise, but the biggest culprit behind slow weight gain over time—I
know what it is.
Potato chips.
Yes.
Yep, potato chips.
Because they're awesome.
I quit chips a while back. I will on very rare occasions have a chip or two.
I don't even watch chips anymore.
No, it's outdated. You know,
it's stupid. Eric Estrada are bad.
Not
the scripts,
that good
really.
Looking anymore. No, but I've switched over to soy crisps.
Yeah.
I have those instead, and it's a lot less fat and stuff like that in it. But it says that chips could be the big culprit in the slow weight creep over the years. That's according to a major new study.
My uniform isn't fitting as well.
From Harvard University scientists that analyzed the diet and lifestyle habits of more than 120,000 people in long-running medical studies. People often gain weight gradually over decades, and the researchers found that what we eat and how much of it we consume has far more impact than exercise. And most other habits on long-term weight gain.
It's food, what you eat. And I tell you this, my trainer, Dwayne, always, it's the thing, it's what you eat that's going to govern your weight. So that's all there. I love potato chips, but I know to stay away from them as often as I can. If I'm going to do it, I'm going to do the real chips. But otherwise, because the old adage, you can't eat just one, is true.
And fries, too.
I love French fries.
I know. And
I love them.
I actively, a couple years ago, I backed off of them. And I will. I mean, because I used to have them like every other day. I was getting a bag
of
fries. Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, yeah.
But I will, on maybe once a week, will I have a couple of French fries, and that's it. And I love them. I absolutely love them.
And it's weird. I don't really like potato chips at all, but I like French fries. And they're the same exact thing. You except freak. One's hotter.
What about potato sticks?
What are those? Those
very
are
greasy.
Extremely greasy. You
awesome.
Put those in your hand.
Rub them on your face.
And under your chin.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
can put it in your mouth and under your chin and your hands. Sticks everywhere.
Just rub it and just keep begging for more and call yourself a dirty little bitch.
Do these come in a can?
Yes.
Oh, those are disgusting.
They're really greasy, right?
Yeah.
Extremely greasy. Do you love them, Case?
What? The
potato sticks.
Yeah, I do.
Yeah.
Where do you know, Andy Cap. Was it?
Supermarket.
Hot fries. Hot fries.
Pump fries.
Those are even worse.
Those are really good. I'm sure that's Olympic.
Jesus. Really, man?
I had to. All right. It's an old joke. It probably got dumped.
No, I didn't. When looking at what people ate, the researchers found that potato chips are the biggest culprit, putting on pounds, with each daily serving of about 15 chips leading to a 1.69-pound weight gain over 4 years. That's not much.
Wait a second. The crisis here is a 1.6-pound weight gain
over 4 years?
4 years? That's one healthy dump.
By comparison, it was 0.41 pounds for sweets and desserts, 1 pound for soda, and 1.28 pounds for starchy potatoes such as French fries.
I used to dabble in soda a lot more. The drink that would do me in was flavored iced tea. Was like a raspberry iced tea, and that used to be my default drink: iced tea, Arizona iced tea, or Snapple, or whatever. Doing away with that, and 98% of everything that I drink is just straight up regular water.
Yeah.
It makes the difference because there's so many empty calories.
I've started drinking water a lot more.
And I can use those calories for potato chips now.
Right. Man, do I pee I pee so much now.
Well, yeah. And that's good for
your
kidneys.
Is that a good thing?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's like chin-ups for your kidneys.
Why are chips the downfall? Well, the professor says they're very tasty and they have a very good texture.
Very tasty and various textures that are enticing to the average snack who comes.
Honestly, you had to learn that in a laboratory?
Yeah.
In a library?
Come meet me in the laboratory. It's right next to the library.
And he said people generally don't take one or two chips. They have a whole bag. That comes in bags.
What are you guys more...
This is the most moronic conversation.
What are you more apt to eat an entire bag of? Chips or like Oreos or
potting
chips?
Soil.
Really?
Yeah, oddly enough.
That's disgusting.
Yeah. It's a weird thing. No,
I like those little white kernels, whatever they are.
I'll tell you what I will do. I will, if there's around the time that we have parties and there's extra onion dip, I will sit down like King Henry VIII.
With a straw.
And I will eat chips and onion dip as a meal because, and that's the only time I do it. I do it with reckless abandon because it is a narcotic to me. It's just delicious. And it doesn't matter if the onion dip's crappy or not. It still works for me.
I feel so disgusting though.
I feel like Jodie Foster in The Accused.
A whole bag. No, I think that would be a little different. But anyway, I would feel so gross just to know that I ate the whole bag.
I tell you, you know where I get stuck eating all of that is, believe it or not, at the Wells Fargo Center in the suites.
Oh, the mustard?
They're chips. No, they're chips and dip. Are out frickin' standing. You hate it?
No, I know the mustard Nick's talking about.
It's excellent. Good. Yeah, it's the mustard that you put on the chicken fingers, too.
And the pretzel nuggets?
Yeah, and popcorn.
Oh, oh, I rub that all over my face, and I call myself a dirty bitch.
So good.
You do?
I found
out, Nick, that it's Ken's salad dressing.
What?
Or Kent's. What's Ken's. The mustard? The honey mustard dressing that they use, it's just Kent's salad.
Honey mustard salad dressing?
What, combined with regular mustard?
No.
Just on its own? I could buy
mustard,
it?
Yeah.
Oh, man. See you guys later.
Yeah. It is good stuff, man.
I love it.
Know how I feel about their popcorn.
Yeah.
I rub it all over my face.
I call myself
a dirty little bitch.
Wow. All right. Well, anyway, stop doing that. No, the chips are no good for you, as if you didn't know that already. But they're saying that it is the biggest culprit for slow overtime weight
gain. It's the kind of thing that you'll go and pick at, and you will not realize how much you've eaten.
Yep, absolutely. All right, well, listen, we need to take a break. We'll be back in a moment. Stay there.
Preston and Steve on 93.3 WMMR.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.